I gave some thought to rerunning an intro for the first time in the show's history. Although I was sick at the time I recorded it, I wasn't sick enough that I couldn't have recorded a full intro, but my voice was still scratchy at the time, but it wasn't an indication of my ability to put in more effort. I'm not sick now, not for lack of vocal fry when I get into my deeper, dulcet tones and incredibly close to the mic. Whoops, maybe I should have reran the intro. At least then I would have actually referenced gaming news. Goat Direct wasn't an April Fool. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about the Switch 2, Nintendo Direct, and the rest of some gaming news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. I'm laughing because I don't know what Jason was doing with that intro, but it was really funny. Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again tonight with episode number 1041 of our show for tonight, April the 6th of 2025. My name is Rob Roberts, and I do want to get right into the news here pretty quickly, but I couldn't do that if I didn't say hello first to the one and only Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Jamie, one thing I want to ask you here at the top of the show is that new killer in Dead by Daylight breaking the game?
I'm tired of him already, at least when I played, it had nothing but him. But there's some OP stuff about this character that has been addressed by a number of upper echelon DBD people.
All right. Well, we'll get into that a little later, maybe during our gaming weeks. But I also want to say hello to the one and only Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
Doing all right.
All right. So everybody's looking forward to your Minecraft movie review because you are a little bit of a Minecraft fan. We all know that. However, I'm not going to let you do that right now because we have a lot of gaming news to get into. But on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, what would you give the Minecraft movie?
At least 4 stars.
At least 4 stars. All right. That's pretty good. That's not bad. That's like a B. That's a solid B. All right. Let's get into some gaming news tonight. I'm just jumping right into it because there's obviously some headlines that are taking the world by storm. And it all has to do with the release of the Nintendo Switch 2 information. So, you know, we kind of ended last week saying in 7 days, we're finally going to know everything about the launch of the Switch 2. There's not going to be any more rumors about the Switch 2's launch. We're going to have all the facts and we're going to know what's going on. And that has turned out to be not really true. We still don't know some key components about what's going to happen with the Switch 2's launch. And that is thanks to a lot of things that are going on in this country. So let's start off at the top here. Loki, I'm going to turn it over to you to give us the news rundowns. But could we talk about the two things that people are talking about the most after that direct, and they both revolve around the price. Can we talk about first the price of the system and the price of the games?
Yeah. So the price of the system is $450 for just the system itself, only the system. And then they're also doing a limited time bundle with Mario Kart World Tour, which is the brand new Mario Kart game, for $499. At least that's in the U.S. Europe, similar pricing. In Japan, the pricing is much lower due to the weak yen there, apparently. But that is basically the price point. It's close to a digital version of the PlayStation 5. On top of that, Mario Kart World Tour, the launch game for the Switch 2, is retailing at $80 essentially, or $70 digital, $80 physical, although some regions it's 80 and 90.
Wait, I had heard it was 80 for both, that it's 80 digital, 80 physical as well.
I think it's more for physical.
This is a big problem, like, that Nintendo has right now. Nintendo screwed up big time by not being more transparent about the pricing in the direct. And I understand, I know, before y'all come at me in chat, I understand that direct has to be in the can for weeks in advance so that it gets the legal review, so that they get everything prepped. And there was a lot of instability going on in the world. I understand there's certain things that Nintendo has to have, but then that also kind of makes me go, well, should Nintendo maybe have done it live? or had some components that were done live or something that supplemented that, that they could have done a lot faster, or like Clue the movie, an ending A, B, and C that is chosen depending on which theater you're at, or in which case, what the tariff situation in the world is. Because now what's happening? Everybody is filling in the gaps. I've said this time and time again on Orange Lounge Radio about this is a truth that we have to accept about our industry, the gaming industry, that is so extraordinarily frustrating, is that the truth doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. The perception of the news, the perception of the truth is what matters. And I can tell you within hours of that Nintendo, it had to be more than that because I didn't get to get around to it till that evening because I did a whole weird experiment here at Vogue Network. I actually was able to stay off the grid, so to speak, all day long so that I could watch live for the first time with all of you that evening. But then as I was doing later that evening, I was brain rotting on TikTok, which a lot of us do sometimes. Yeah, brain rotting on whatever app it is your choice. I was brain rotting on TikTok, and I saw the TikToks where people like, I can't believe that Mario Kart World Tour is going to be $90 if you want a cartridge. Wait. It's not going to be $90. You can actually go. And I saw a bleat on Blue Sky from somebody I know very well. I can't believe Mario Kart's going to be $90. And I linked the Best Buy screenshot where it's $80 for the physical edition of the game. We don't know because Nintendo really fucked up not being clear. And I understand the situation is extraordinarily complicated and it's fluid. But unfortunately, the reality of the situation is now perception has taken over. And we barely know what the price is. And
we know that the MSRP is $79.99. Now, we don't know if that's digital only or if that's going to be a physical edition. But right now it is $79.99. Doesn't matter how you slice it. Okay, like whether it's digital or physical doesn't matter. $79.99 is $10 more than what we already consider ridiculous with PlayStation 5 games.
They have broken that ceiling. They have pushed, I think a lot of people were not expecting that to come from Nintendo.
From the bottom of my heart, let me be the first to say to Nintendo, not the first, I'm sure, but let me be another person to say to Nintendo, absolutely, wholeheartedly, go fuck yourselves. 100% fuck yourselves with the sharpest fucking rigidity shit that you have, because goddamn it, you fucking just ruined the goddamn game industry by saying, oh hey, Ubisoft with their shitty fucking Assassin's Creed games, now those are going to be $80 because Nintendo said it was okay, so now we get to fucking just open that gate. Fuck you guys.
I would rather blame someone else. Some orange turd who decided no. Were a good idea.
I get you that you want to blame tariffs, but other games, even on their own platform, are $70, $80. No, it is Nintendo. It is Nintendo because it's not like that they live in a bubble and didn't know that tariffs are coming. And that aside, other regions of the world where there are no tariffs from the United States, it is still that price. Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. Seriously, fuck them. With this bullshit. It's fucking greed and it's bullshit. And they need to fuck themselves. And I hope they pay for this. Honestly, I hope they pay for this. Because it will affect, this is gonna be fucking PlayStation 3 all over the fuck again.
I do
in a recession in the worldwide. Like, seriously, fuck them.
I do want to address a couple comments in chat because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night. The Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Okay, Deft in chat says, yeah, Nintendo did fuck up, but I think it's wrong of us that Nintendo is only to blame here. Yes and no. Deft was commenting, I want to say that comment was kind of timed when I was talking about the messaging. I still believe Nintendo could have done a better job messaging in spite of the situation. And I think a lot of it is what you hear Loki in his passionate voice there about, great, you've done shattered the glass ceiling. This all but guarantees Grand Theft Auto 6 will be $80, if not more. This all but guarantees, you know, other Ubisoft games and other games coming, they're going to be $80. You know, go ahead.
Never mind. Glass ceiling doesn't apply here.
Well, the shatter the ceiling of price or whatever it is. I say that because there was this this sort of like unspoken, we're not going above this price and you can't charge this much for a video game, but now you can.
It's basically, it's not even so much that Nintendo is charging it for their game. It's basically giving the game industry permission to just fuck the consumer some more. And it was already ridiculous enough, and we were already pushing it back against it with PlayStation 5. At least there you could justify that, oh, it's the 4K visuals that they need to push for these higher, you know, spec systems. The Switch 2 ain't that. The Switch 2 is fucking a generation or two back, okay? This is like a place. Imagine a PlayStation 4 game coming out for $80 retail. Like, it's just, if Sony released Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4 for $80, everybody would be telling them to fuck themselves. Like, it's just ridiculous, and we give Nintendo a pass all the time. I'm not giving Nintendo a pass. I get it. I would love to play the new Mario Kart game, but this is ridiculous. It is way too, it's priced way too high. And yeah, Trump's tariffs are only going to make that even higher. It's just, read the fucking room. Like, the reason the Switch did so well is because it was one of the lower price systems, and that's how you got away with it. But now you're just pulling like some of these higher end, you know, electronics things where it's like, well, we've got the built-in consumer. They'll pay whatever we want. They'll eat whatever we give them. Like, it's just, you got to say no at some point. You got to just push back and let them go through this as like they did with the 3DS, where that flopped initially, and then they had to reap the pivot and kind of make amends there. Because I think a lot of these game companies need to kind of have a comeuppance so this greed just goes away, because it's getting ridiculous. Because it's not just, because I get it with Nintendo. It's like, yeah, you get a full complete package usually for their games. They don't have a ton of DLC. It's usually pretty meaningful. Once again, this isn't a Nintendo problem. This is going to be a game industry problem, because now you have Ubisoft that's going to get, you're going to get EA Sports Madden coming out the door at $80 plus all the bullshit that they add on top of that. And then they're going to be like, we don't have enough money, while raking in billions of dollars and giving their fucking CEOs hundreds of millions of dollars. Fuck Nintendo. Fuck this game industry, actually. Fuck them. All of them.
This is, believe it or not, there's actually a large portion of what Loki's saying I agree with. This, and that might surprise you. I usually try to be pretty measured in these types of situations. But I do think this $80 is not going to be great news at the end of the day for the industry. And I have seen the memes, and I've seen the kind of the first line of defense that sometimes the Nintendo defenders are using in this situation about, well, the cartridges that we were buying in the 90s were, you know, such and such. A Chrono Trigger was $100, or, you know, whatever, you know, cartridges had all this meat packed into, were $100 right at this time. But here's the thing. And ding, 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 a gold star comment, as far as I'm concerned, in this chat to Deft, who said the real problem isn't the games going up, it's our wages not going up. That's where the comparison breaks down for me, is because right, if you look at what the minimum wage was then and what the minimum wage is now, there's a huge discrepancy there. And to be fair, this is indicative of a problem outside the gaming industry. And I also see the talk about the budgets for the video games going up and that it costs more to make a video game. Whilst I do understand that, it's a very hard pill to swallow when there isn't more money going into our pockets. And yeah, we have to be able to have teams of, you know, and I don't know if that, and this might surprise, I don't know if that's AI that helps with that, that's not generative in nature, but tools and learn, you know, I don't know. But this industry is headed for further disaster in this direction. And I fully believe it.
Let's be honest though, like let's look at this. So yes, we want to make the argument that games in the past were more expensive, but let's look at it, the reality of that is, yes, the upfront cost of a game back then was maybe a bit more expensive, but you got a complete game with that. Whereas now, everything is piecemealed out of it. Your entry point at these games is now getting to the point what those old complete games were. But no, that's not the complete game, because then you got to buy the fucking Battle Pass. That's a monthly subscription to unlock bullshit that would have normally been free. Oh, and then right, you got your special editions on top of all of that. And then you got your DLC and your consumables on top of all of that. So no, it is not just like $100 back then and $60 or $70 now is an equivalent. It is not, because they are making a lot more money off the consumer per game than $100. They are making hundreds, if not thousands of dollars off of consumers on some of these games. They're whales that they like to call them. It's ridiculous to even draw that kind of comparison. And
there's it would even be different part of this.
Yeah, and even if we're talking like cartridges cost more to manufacture, okay, give me a discount on the digital game then. Oh, wait, it's the same price?
No, there's an even deeper core to do with this, and it's just the whole nature of capitalism.
Please elaborate.
The absolute nature of capitalism and how rampant and unchecked it's become in this country. And the fact that some of these working protections that we have are now being rolled back, which is going to make things even worse for people trying to earn that living wage, like Rob was mentioning. And I hate to draw the comparison, but history has taught us, look at the origins of the French Revolution, about how that loaded up, and it all came from the fact that you had a very separated and disinterested, almost higher paid, wealthy aristocracy. And then you had the people who were, you know, losing their way of living, losing their money to benefit those who were in control, who had the power, who were the, you know, it's our modern day aristocracy. And when you're dealing with this kind of disparaging income and the fact that now they are tooling things where they stand to make money from the actions, from the damage that the tariffs will cause the consumer. It's a whole lot of economic theory I'll have to go into, and we don't have time on the show. But that being said, we are heading to that breaking point. And the companies, they don't see, they just think they're going to buy it. Our name is on it. They're going to buy it. Our name is on it. Or there's, you know, FOMO is going to sell these systems, you know. And
it might. Honestly, it might. I mean, I just think $79.99 would have been more, or like, you know, the $69.99 would have been more palatable, because at least then you'd be like, okay, well, this is just where the industry's going. Everybody's raising their prices to that. But then to take it even further, come on.
But there's also, though, these people who are, you know, going to think like, you know, like there are people out there who's like, okay, this is a natural progression. This is what inflation is. We've been through this cycle before. This is nothing new. And to an extent, it is nothing new. It is, we saw it coming. We had hoped it wouldn't, but we saw it coming. We just didn't, I reckon, as a group, think it was going to happen so soon. Mm-hmm. And people will fuss, people will complain, and ultimately, they will still buy it. As long as that happens, nothing is going to change.
That is true. People have to vote with their wallets, but I feel like this situation is going to continue to escalate, and I think people will. Nintendo infamously is a company that does not put games on sale, but I will say this. So there's two things I want to say, because let me say this, and then I want to get into where I actually disagree with Loki, because I'm sure y'all want to hear that. So this is the one thing, is that one thing we don't have on the table, because we don't know what it looks like yet, is what deals are we going to get on these $80 games? Meaning, we all know that you can work the Costco system to get $100 of Nintendo cards for $90, at least today. That's one way you can save a buck on a game, because games are starting to push that price anyway. Another way you could save is that it used to be that if you had Nintendo Switch Online, you could get the voucher that would let you get two games, and it was reduced price. And so we don't know if any of those things are going to help swallow the pill of this. And I would tell you, if these games don't sell the way that Nintendo expects them to, we'll probably see more of those types of deals. And again, I also want to emphasize, you know, the price of Mario Kart World is one thing, but what really gets me is that they want to charge $80 for Breath of the Wild Switch 2 edition, $80 for Tears of the Kingdom Switch 2 edition. Now, I think it's only $20 if you only have the original and you want to get the upgrade. And again, going into deals with Nintendo Switch Online, if you actually have the expansion pack, you actually are going to get that thing gifted. But otherwise, on its own, for a new consumer who doesn't have Breath of the Wild, which I really don't know who that is at this point, but we'll say there's somebody out there that doesn't, asking them to pay $80 for Breath of the Wild in the year 2025, that's like Bethesda putting out a Skyrim Switch 2 edition saying we have a few extra quests, we have a phone app that goes with it, and they're going to charge you $80 for that. That's a big pill for Nintendo to swallow. Now,
and on top of that, like, I saw a side-by-side with the Switch 1 and Switch 2 versions. I honestly couldn't tell them apart. They looked the same. And being that these Switch 2 editions are essentially, it's the Switch 1 game and a voucher to download that update. That's all it is.
Here's where I start to disagree with Loki, and even myself a little bit, because here's the thing. I realize optics are a big thing to play, right? It's that whole perception thing. I would actually argue many of you are already paying $80 for a video game. You're already paying this price. Because so many companies out there, not only with their limited edition, legacy edition, you know, will find ways to jack the price up all the way to like $100 if you want to get, you know, the early access Forza edition, all this stuff. Not just that, but the fact that, consider this, that Nintendo, when it comes to this Mario Kart World Tour, is having 50 racers out the gate in this thing. Now, why Mario 2 keeps getting the shaft? Like, I understand we get Birdo and Shy Guy, but where the fuck is Wart? Where the fuck is Mouser? Where the fuck is Tri-Clyde or Fry Guy? And it's not a Fuji.
Only a dream.
It's not a Fuji television rights thing, because Nintendo has re-put out Mario 2 several times. And I say Fuji television because of Doki Doki Panic and where that all came from. That was the characters. But anyway, I digress. Any other company, Ubisoft especially, I'm trying to think of who else especially, but especially Ubisoft, I'm going to pick on them because EA would be another one, would have put out Mario Kart World Tour for $70 and then had the $10 character packs, five of them with five characters each, and maybe have 25 in the game, and then the extra packs that will be for sale with that. And then if you want to unlock the special cup, that's also going to be a $15 piece of DLC and da 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 da. Nintendo, and I really, it's not that Nintendo doesn't do DLC. Obviously they do, and I fully expect that Mario Kart World will probably have some of its own and so forth. But I do feel like where Nintendo has proven themselves is that the DLC that Nintendo releases tends to be the best value for the dollar. I think the only one I thought was kind of mid was Splatoon. Otherwise, the DLC that Nintendo releases is usually, it's enough to substantiate it. So, I mean, but I understand at the end of the day, it's the optics of the $80 price that is really bad. But I just feel like in another universe, Nintendo puts out Mario Kart World Tour with half the characters and then charges for the DLC. And is that really any different?
Yeah, it's not any different, but once again, we're still giving them the benefit of the doubt, but now they've gone and done this, so who knows what they're capable of right now. Like, to be honest, like, because we thought that is going to be, you know, reasonably priced and everything, and then they went this instead and say, hey, let's play a game and see how many of these we can sell for $80, and so now they're going to do that, and who knows what they're going to deal on top of it. I don't know what their plan is, but I now have to lump them in with everybody else. Unfortunately, just because this is the way it is.
I just feel it was extremely a missed opportunity on Nintendo's part to not communicate why they felt the price of the game needed to go up. Why, you know, and that could have even been damage control that they do after the fact in interviews and things like that. But we haven't really had a comment on that issue, which again is leading to the internet completely filling in the gap and making it up. I want to present something, because this is the type of behavior online that I'm so tired of. And I will get to your comments in chat. I'm sorry. I see you guys. But I have to rant about something real quick, okay? I want to show you this Reddit. This is the Reddit for gaming news, where they post a bunch of headlines and you see things that get upvoted. One of the items that's on this Reddit is, Every first party Nintendo Switch 2 game will cost $70 or $80, even the old ones. Okay. Nintendo cites upgrades, inflation, and tariffs as reasons for the higher prices. And this is from a website called techspot.com. And I was drawn to this headline because I said, wait a minute, Nintendo has commented on this? I was not aware. I want to see what Nintendo is saying about that $80. And sure enough, you go to the site, it's the same headline. Every first party Nintendo Switch 2 game will cost $70 or $80, even the old ones. Nintendo cites upgrades, inflation, and tariffs as reason for the higher prices. Just checking my eyes. That headline on this site does say Nintendo is citing this, right? We all see that. Okay. Then as I'm moving down, I'm reading through the story. Okay, so Nintendo is going to charge $80 for games. Shocking news about Mario Kart World is $80. Okay, third-party titles will have varied pricing. Okay. Nintendo scheme for updating will take this. Okay, like PlayStation 5. Okay. Microsoft and third-party developers release upgrade patches. Sony charges $10. Okay, we know that. Civ 7 will have a Nintendo. Okay, we know that. Nintendo didn't specify the price for Switch to Switch 2 conversions, but the difference is $10 to $20. Okay, right, okay. I'm still looking forward. Nintendo citing this. Furthermore, inflation alone could account for most or all the differences between AAA games that sold for $70 a few years ago and $80 Switch 2 games in 2025. According to labor statistics, $70 in 2021 or 2022 could equal between $75 or $80 today. Okay. I'm still trying to get to that part of the story where Nintendo is citing the upgrades, inflation, or tariffs. Okay. Let's see. The 24% tariff on Nintendo's home country, Japan, and 46% tax on goods from Vietnam, where the firm shifted Switch 2 manufacturing to avoid anti-Chinese duties, could be particularly troublesome. Nintendo has likely already shipped many units into the U.S. ahead of the tariffs, and Trump has wavered on the practice before, but the company is seemingly hedging its bets in an increasingly chaotic market. Okay, but that's... Okay, Nintendo, that's reading into the news in a, I think, what is a reasonable way, but that's not Nintendo actually commenting on it, right? Okay, avoiding tariffs by building Switch 2s in the U.S. is also untenable. Analysts say building factories and hiring personnel would take 5 years and then the consoles would still cost more, sure. It remains unclear how or if the video game industry will respond. A heavier focus on digital marketplace would be unsurprised. That's the end of the article. Wait a minute. Loki, I just kind of ran through the article there. Correct me if I'm wrong, did you hear anything in there about Nintendo actually citing upgrades, inflation, and tariffs? Did you hear anything where Nintendo actually said something in that?
No, what I heard was, sucker, you bought our clickbait headline.
That's right, y'all, because again, let's go back to Reddit, where this originally came from. I want to show you 160 comments. 146 people upvoted this. If you go to the article itself, you have 36 comments, or no, 26 comments, 468 likes and shares. TechSpot.
These people don't want to do their own damn research.
This TechSpot article is a fucking joke. This TechSpot article is terrible, and this website should feel bad for what they're doing here. This is bullshit, and you should all feel bad for sharing it and upvoting it on Reddit and being suckers for these clickbait headlines. Nintendo didn't comment on this shit. And yes, I understand, Tiger Claw in chat, Reddit isn't reliable as a news source. That's why I'm telling you the numbers of people that are spreading this like wildfire, because it isn't fucking true. And this is the stuff that is spreading everywhere. Y'all need to stop and critically think. There is no comment from Nintendo on this, and that is the problem. Now people are literally making it up. You're leading it to these shit blogs that that read like AI garbage to me. I don't know if it was allegedly, in my opinion, as I read that read to me like AI garbage.
It did. And people don't think at all. Think critical or not, people don't think. They don't want to think. They don't want to do the research for themselves.
This is where all of you, me, all of you listening, all of you on websites like Reddit, all of you on Blue Sky, all of you that for whatever god awful reason are still on Twitter, all of you that are on Facebook, all of it. This is what you all need to do better. Stop sharing this shit. And stop rewarding TechSpot for making shit up, literally. because it's not doing anybody any favors. Now, here's the part that really shocked me in a good way. Let's go back to Reddit. I know y'all are mad that I'm getting my news from Reddit. Reddit is, for again, it's just, I could go to Blue Sky and I would see that same article being shared. I could go to Twitter and I would see that same article being shared. Reddit is one of many barometers about what people are talking about online, whether you like it or not. There's another article that's been shared, also, funny enough, upvoted 146 times. Trump tariffs will have a real and detrimental impact on games industry, says U.S. Trade Group. This one goes to Eurogamer, which is a website that I trust a lot more based on track record to not be doing the AI drivel and to not do these clickbait headlines, because they open it right off saying the Entertainment Software Association, which represents all major gaming companies in the U.S., has responded to the Trump tariffs, saying the measures will have a real and detrimental impact on the game industry. And they link to the actual game file source here, where ESA Senior Vice President Aubrey Quinn mentioned in an interview that the tariffs, quote, are going to have a real and detrimental impact on the video game industry. Any one product that a consumer would buy is likely to be subject to many of the tariffs announced, all compounded on top of one another. Thank you to Eurogamer for having the integrity to cite your source. That one did not bother me. That was a well-done article, because that led me down the rabbit hole of holy fucking shit. This is the second time this year now I'm going, the ESA is doing some good things for the industry. Pushing back against the tariffs, that's a great move. Especially when you consider the face that used to be at the top of the ESA and their own political affiliations and leanings. This is quite the adjustment in tone from the ESA. And yeah, I'm with SG100 Matt says, rare ESAW. Mike Dev says, who would have thought the ESA said this? Well, at the end of the day, the ESA is supposed to be advocating for the gaming industry and advocating for this. And this tariff situation is creating a shitty situation for video games. We didn't even get to the second headline. Loki. What is the second headline about what the tariffs are doing to the Nintendo Switch situation?
The second headline? Well, they've basically stopped the pre-orders because now that the tariffs are going on, they have to basically reevaluate what, I guess, to charge everything. But it's still supposed to come out on June 5th, at least. So that's hasn't changed, but who knows when that's going to pre-order, because originally it's supposed to start on Wednesday on the 9th.
So yeah, the whole pre-orders are going to happen, and now they're not, because, and this is the part to the comment that was said much earlier, how much of this is really Nintendo's fault. And this is the part where it's like, yeah, this is just shitty timing. And the only fault Nintendo made was not getting this console out sooner, which I understand you want to have the good games and all this stuff. But the reality is now they literally put out a Nintendo Direct the same day that our government decided to implement tariffs on nations based on an algorithm. And I don't try and convince me this was not algorithm or AI or otherwise based, because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be putting tariffs on the fucking Penguin Islands or whatever they're called in Australia,
or US base,
where there isn't any fucking people. What are they importing from that island? Penguin meat? I don't think that's allowed. There's nothing there. So that's how you know. That's how you know somebody who actually knows what they're talking about did not proofread this. And that fucking somebody typed into the Grok or one of those bullshit AI things. How do I tariff other countries in this whole thing? That Nintendo could not have called that news would have come out the same day. I'm gonna give them a pass on that. And now this whole situation, because
it's homophobia against gay penguins.
It's the whole thing is so fucked because Nintendo, you may recall, moved a good chunk of their production of hardware out of China into Vietnam to get around the first round of Trump tariffs, the first time that targeted China. They moved them to Vietnam. Well, guess what? Now Trump wants to target Vietnam with a 46% tariff, which has, again, the clickbait hysteria leading to $650 or $700 Nintendo Switch 2s, which at least is rooted in math. You know, I mean, nobody can really boil down exactly what parts are coming from where into which countries and the imports and how that's all going to boil down. That would require some Nintendo transparency to know exactly what parts are going into what piece. But, and Bobby says, I am the clickbaiter. I said that was actually rooted in math. It's a different issue than what I brought up before. But here's the thing. This is the type of news that changes on a whim. I fully expect we will come back to this show. And maybe this is just false hope, silly hope. But I just feel like this is how our government works now. And change my mind. Please feel free. I feel like we're going to come back here in 7 days. And the... does Vietnam have a prime minister or a president? I actually don't know. Sorry, everybody. I can't keep track of every country in the world and their government. Does Vietnam have a prime minister or a president? Whoever the leader, whoever the de facto leader of Vietnam is in the next 7 days will have kissed Trump's ring and kissed his ass on social media and convinced the administration to remove that tariff. And this thing is going to be a non-stop. That's what I really truly think is going to happen. Maybe not in 7 days, but I would say in like 2 weeks, maybe. And Bobby says they already have, it's a prime minister. And I guess, again, deals being brokered on social media because that's the government you elected. So I don't think
that... Also, when it, going back to your comment about algorithm, for the record, I also think that there's quite a bit of bias involved in the choice of countries for this.
Oh, I'm sure. Bobby actually gives me a link here to look at this. Except... it wants me to. It won't let me read it unless I have a subscription. So I only have the headline here that says Vietnam ready to remove U.S. import tariffs as it seeks to delay Trump's 46% levy. And apparently there was a meeting between the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Vietnam, and Vietnam's Minister of Foreign Affairs on Sunday. So it's already, and I'm sure there are many governments around the world, like I said, that, and maybe that was the plan. Question mark, I say as if there's ever a plan. I am not going to profess to be able to think like these people that are running our government. I don't know what they're doing, but the stock market seems to indicate a lot of people don't think they know what they're doing. So we'll see what the situation looks like in 7 days. But I would argue, no matter how you slice it, let's say this issue is gone in 7 days, this is going to cause supply issues. Supply issues are already going to happen. And even when Nintendo has probably taken steps to get around those issues by already having Switch 2s in this country ready to go, the problem is that there's going to be a stoppage of bringing more into this country to sit in warehouses and go out to store shelves to be distributed. This is going to cause a stoppage of that for weeks that we are going to feel a little bit of a delay there. Like after that initial sell through is done, the refill on the shelves is going to take a very long time. And we're going to all sit here and go, LOL, Nintendo can't keep their fucking hardware stocked. Ha ha. And this might actually be the rare case where it's not Nintendo's fault, where they actually were taking steps to prevent that. But this tariff situation, you know, they're not going to import those things into this country while they have to pay a 46% tariff on it. And that's all going to get delayed. We just don't know for a while, because, again, Nintendo's not going to have the transparency to tell us how many of these are already sitting in warehouses. That's understandable. By the way, and for all of you that are wondering, why isn't Sony doing this? Why isn't Microsoft doing this? Because they have the luxury of already having them on store shelves, and many of them waiting in warehouses for when those store shelf supplies run out. But if this issue continues into the holiday season, you bet your ass you're going to be hearing this from Sony, and you're going to hear this from Microsoft as well. They just have a little bit, you know, because the supply is already out there and their product isn't quite in high demand right this moment, they have the luxury of being able to kind of wait this out a little more than Nintendo does. And SS2100 Matt goes to elections have consequences. Yes, they do. And for all of you that said, I'm doing my Twitch stream and I don't talk about politics on my Twitch stream because we need to keep politics out of video games and the politics shouldn't touch the video games. Well, guess what? It was always inevitable that politics was going to be tied to your video games. It was always inevitable. And maybe gamers needed this to happen. I hate to say it. I hate watching a lot of this stuff that's playing out. I don't know how the fuck people are going to wake up until it hurts them personally, because unfortunately, that seems to be the way this country works. People do not give a shit until it affects them personally. Then they give a shit. So maybe the price of the Switch 2 will finally be the thing that fucking radicalizes you. Welcome to the resistance. We've been waiting for you. I'm done.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about like what exactly was announced regarding the Switch 2. So kind of all of the, we know the price and we know that we're not happy with it. But specs wise, you know, it is going to be a pretty decent piece of kit. It's got a larger, pretty much everything's improved, larger screen. So a 7.9 inch screen, it can do up to 4K. The screen itself, the portable screen, can do 1080p up to 120 FPS. Has HDR support. They're going to have 3D audio. Also, the dock will do up to 4K 60. And then, you know, I think also 120 if your TV supports that as well. And yeah, 256 gigabytes of storage. And the system itself is basically the same size as the original Switch, obviously a little bit bigger, but not thicker on top of that. And it will support Switch 1 games, although not everything. And the reason for that is it's not actually playing it on the native hardware, it's emulating it. And so there's already 120 Switch games that have compatibility issues that they're still working on getting fixed, so that is something to expect.
But none of them are Nintendo first party games, none of them,
correct?
And
yeah.
So a lot of them are very, like, you know, well, Fortnite is one of them, but there's going to be a separate Fortnite Switch 2 client anyway. You wouldn't want the, if you want the Fortnite Switch one client on your Switch 2, I question your logic. So there are several games in there where I'm just like, okay, it doesn't work, whatever. And the games you care about the most, Nintendo first party games, are all going to be fine. So I it's kind of a non-issue to me, except for things like Labo. But again, like, I feel like if you're like, I'm upset because Labo won't work on Switch 2, like, you're trying to break the system, dude. Obviously, the specs for this thing are different, and Labo involves, you know, physical things that were for the size of those old Joy-Cons, and that has changed.
Technically, Labo could work for some of that, because the original Joy-Cons are compatible with the system. You can use them for games. So technically, some of that would work. The VR, no. Obviously, it would not.
But if you are buying a Switch 2 to play Labo, I need you to stop and think about your money. And just maybe you should open a CD. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, go ahead.
The battery life for the Switch 2 isn't going to be better. It's estimated to run 2 to 6.5 hours on a single charge, depending on what games you're playing. So that's something. And then on top of that, we do know that the joysticks, of course, that the analog sticks is always a concern with drift. Those are supposed to be Hall Effect switches now, or sticks. So at least that should be, the drift issues should be gone there. And also, they promise that the eShop will be better. Well, I mean, it can only get better. Well, I do get
it, getting it worse would be a choice.
It could, yes, it should be getting better, because that's a very low bar to hit. But they do promise that it will be better than what it is. On top of that, they also showed off, there was I don't remember what it was called necessarily, but it's basically like a little game that teaches you how the Switch 2 works and all of its functions and stuff like that. You know, something that you would expect to come free with the system. No, they're charging $5 for it, because...
Which is so...
stupid.
Why even charge $5 at that point? I don't understand why Joy World, or whatever it's called, isn't just a freaking pack-in game that could have helped that $450 or $500 price tag be a little bit of an easier pill to swallow. I really do not understand why that just wasn't packed in. Which, by the way, and I'm sorry, Loki, if I'm eating up something you were going to talk about, but I think we do need to talk about when it comes to the tariffs and all that stuff, because we didn't get into it. It's a very important kind of point of this, where it does appear that tariffs, or projected tariffs, are impacting the price of the Switch 2 hardware. And the justification for that is, well, oh, you did mention this briefly early on, Loki. You said that in Japan, they are getting a cheaper Nintendo Switch 2 because of the value of the yen. Although maybe some of that is tariff related too, because, you know, Japan doesn't have those same tariffs.
And yeah.
But it is a highly restrictive Switch 2, meaning you can only run it with a Japanese online account. You can only log into it with a Japanese. You can only log into the Japanese eShop. You can only select Japanese as your language and games. So they are walling that system off as much as they can, so that for it now is completely unattractive for somebody in the U.S. to go over there, buy one, and bring it back hidden in their suitcase, so nobody tries to charge them for a tariff, or just opening it and saying they it's a used thing now and you can't tariff that. So Nintendo is one of that. But yeah, it's like you said, for now, because this is the other consequence that we didn't get into, and it's only a 3-hour show, we're already 45 minutes in, but this is the other consequence of these rising prices and things, and that is this is a challenge to piracy and hackers. This is a challenge to piracy and hackers to pirate Mario Kart. And I don't endorse it. I'm just accepting the reality that when you've got hundreds and if not thousands of people going into chat saying, drop the price, drop the price, drop the price, that this is just going to embolden pirates to want to be the first to break that game to run on systems so that they can get the love and adoration that comes from those thousands of chatters saying, drop the price. And again, I think piracy is a bad idea. I do not advocate for it. I accept the reality. It is a consequence of what is going to happen in this situation. And I do understand we had some chat with it in our VOG Network Discord, vognetwork.com/discord, and 13X Forever, who always has some insightful chat. I appreciate their ability to push back on some things that I put out there sometimes. I wouldn't do this show live if I didn't enjoy getting the diverse opinions and things that even correct course me when I need to be corrected. It's fine. Kind of pushed back and said that there are a lot of security measures, not just on the OLED Switch, but expected to be on the Switch too, to make that harder. But I also say, I kind of push back on that and say, every time a company has said it's not possible, what happens? So
yeah,
I do think it's a matter of time before that firmware. I think, and that's the thing that I think is going to be like the goal. Get that firmware on the Japanese Switch 2 out of there to accept the multi-language firmware. And I'm sure there'll probably be something hardwired on the console itself. There will be people taking soldering irons to the situation to try to figure it out. So I don't live in that world. So, you know, sure, maybe I'm just making it sound like a let's turn up the graphics on level 3 type of situation. But I fully expect the hacking and cracking community to be trying to open those Japanese Switch 2s. It's just a question of how successful can they be. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and on top of that, like, you also have another motivation to do that, as well as the loss of a lot of these physical game carts. So now a new thing that we're seeing with the Switch 2 editions releases are, you know, aside from the Switch 1 cartridges with the one use upgrade vouchers for the Switch 2 edition, which that sucks right there. So once again, if you buy a Switch 2 edition of a game, you can't resell that necessarily because it will just be the Switch 1 game. Then they also have game key cards, which are essentially, it's a plastic cartridge that you have that you buy, and then you plug it into your system, and then it downloads the game. So there's no game on that cart, which means that when the Nintendo Online service for the Switch 2 eventually shuts down, that thing is fucked, unless it's on your hard drive already. So that sucks as well, but I guess it's better than just a typing in numbers or something like that into the eShop. But I still don't like the idea of digital games masquerading as physical games.
I don't think this is as terrible as people are making it out to be, but I will accept the pushback on the Nintendo Switch 2 eShop is always going to have an expiration date, and there will come a time when these no longer work. However, that being said, I would argue these games already exist in Microsoft and Sony's world. And I would argue Call of Duty and Modern Warfare are some of those games. Some of the biggest sellers are essentially doing this exact same thing. Hello, 90 gigabyte day one patches. What the fuck do you think you're downloading? Like, there's, if you were to put in a No Man's Sky PlayStation 4 disc into your PlayStation today, you're going to be downloading the entire fucking game. Now, before y'all push back, I understand. I could still play a version of No Man's Sky off of the disc and so forth. But as more and more games are getting online and so forth, I still say Call of Duty and all that stuff. It's the exact same thing. Y'all are kidding yourselves. I mean, that's, but, and at least I think this is certainly better than the code card that comes in. This is way, because at least I can give this cartridge to Dark Sakura, and then Dark Sakura could put it in their Switch too. And if, assuming she ever gets one, and could actually download the same game and play it with all those same rights. So we could still do a physical trade, even if it's not really the game data on there. So it's a step below having the game on the cart. I'm not, you know, but I still argue this is kind of already happening in the game industry. Y'all are just turning a blind eye to it.
Right, but there's already limited space on the Switch 2 anyways. I know 256 gigabytes sounds like a lot, but it's not, especially when these games are going to be larger in size. So I don't know. I just don't like the
that.
Idea of
I'll accept that. That stuff. Yeah, I'll accept that.
What else? So yeah, lots of game announcements. Mario Kart World, obviously the big one. Some features that are coming to the Switch that are brand new for the Switch, I guess, or Switch 2. Game chat. So it looks like Discord, except it has a shitty video camera that you could use as well, with really low frame rate graphics on the video calls. But it,
the Piranha Plant one that the Hori company's making is cute. Super fucking cute. Like, and it would indicate that any camera ought to work. Question mark. Again, Nintendo hasn't quite filled in the gaps there. I guess I will check my Nintendo Today app throughout the week to see if they comment on it. But I'm anticipating third party USB-C cameras will work fine.
They're going to have a game share like they had with the DS, where you can be able to stream the game essentially to other DSs or other, in this case, Switch 2 consoles or Switch consoles. And then you can play without actually having the game in certain multiplayer games. So that was kind of cool.
Here's the thing. I can't believe this didn't come up because I was thinking about it with that $80 price tag. I don't, and again, it's a little bit unclear. This isn't going to work on every game, right? It works on some games. So is Mario Kart World to be confirmed to be one of those games? Because in my mind,
it hasn't been confirmed.
If it's confirmed, if it helps to justify that $80 price tag a little bit, and that's something Nintendo could have come out to help build the case for why they believe $80 is an acceptable price for the game. But you only need one copy of this game to share and race with your friends. Would have been a huge thing to sell with. But I again, we can't accept that that is fact. Clubhouse Games will work. That's cool. That's a fun game. You know, it does remind me of the Nintendo DS days a little bit. And some games would do like the whole thing, and some games would do like a limited version. Do you remember that? Like, you could download like a limited version. Mm-hmm. I think Mario Kart was one of those games. You could only race as Ghost Shy Guy if you didn't own the game. But if you did own the game, you could do anything. Like, it did weird stuff like that. But this is a value add for Nintendo. I don't want to necessarily shit on this, because this is something Sony and Xbox, as far as I know, are not able to offer with their systems this time. So this is a value add for Nintendo, is being able to beam the game and share with friends. And it's something that we should say, yes, that is a great thing. That adds great value to a console that we're all screaming is not worth the value.
What else? They have a new Pro Controller coming. They've, of course, you know, confirmed that, you know, your Joy-Con 2s are going to be magnetic, but that's because they have a magnet inside the system, and the L2, R2 buttons, I think that's what those are called, are metal. So that's how it adheres to the system itself. Along with that, they talked about, you know, compatible Switch games that, you know, you're basically, you could port over your library, which is nice. They showed off Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild and the upgrades for that, including the mobile phone app that allows you to use it like a camera, like Smart Glass. So it's a Nintendo Smart Glass now.
This is so interesting. Nintendo is adopting all these Microsoft things years after the fact. The Smart Glass, there's one. The other would be the Kinect, because those games in Mario Party Jamboree looked like the cheap Kinect games. I'm sorry.
Those the iToy.
iToy. The Jamboree was the weakest part of that whole Direct. I think that was not a value add, but I think I feel like Nintendo's going to get away with it, like, and that people are going to eat that up a little bit. I don't know at that price, though. $80 for Jamboree if you didn't have the Switch 1. If you didn't have the Switch 1 version, $80 for Jamboree is going to be a tough pill to swallow, but I don't know. I was not enthused by what I saw with Jamboree.
Yeah, I'm very skeptical that would work well. I mean, I know tech has gotten a lot better since the PlayStation 2 days, but geez, that camera does not look great. Like, it does not look like a high quality camera, and I just camera gameplay just hasn't worked, and I can't imagine that Nintendo's like, yeah, we got this. But maybe they do. I don't know.
I think the Discord integration on the TV, which is something I think would be neat to see PlayStation and Xbox adopt. Yes, I know Discord is integrated into PlayStation, but you can't do the cameras and live and all that and picture in picture and that whole thing, which I feel like we were getting closer to on the PlayStation 4 with the Twitch streaming built-in thing that we had there. But I don't get too far away. But I think there's a lot of interesting things there. I think being able to bridge living rooms with different families competing against each other in games, I think for some people that's going to be a lot of fun. I don't think I'm one of those people. I think I'm one of those people that, let's be real, I'm going to hear about this. It's going to make me laugh that all the gay guys are going to get together and play Mario Kart and are going to be wearing just their underwear on these calls. And that's just funny because it's Nintendo. Like, that's, you know, but luckily we have parental controls features now that I'm not as worried about this stuff going the way of PictoChat, but like, we all know the dicks are coming out on those Nintendo streams. So thankfully, they'll be private and hopefully unhackable. Like, we know that's going to happen.
Hackable. That's funny. Hacker's going to hack.
I guess that's true, too. Hacker's going to hack.
All right. Other fun announcements. So Kirby and the Forgotten Land is getting a Switch 2 edition as well. So it's going to add Star-Crossed Worlds, which is like an expansion to it. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond is also going to have a Switch 2 edition as well. Also confirmed that the Joy-Con 2s can be used like a mouse, so it will have mouse controls as well. So that's kind of exciting.
That is the best feature of the Switch 2. And way too many people are sleeping on this and underreporting this. I cannot tell you how excited I am to play Metroid Prime 4 with this new innovative control scheme, because literally what it is the best part of playing with a controller, and it is the best part of playing with keyboard and mouse put together. You take keyboard and mouse and you replace WASD with an actual control analog. That is going to be amazing if the mouse actually runs as well as a PC mouse does. I would assume, because these mice only cost like $10 at this point, that technology is going to be present in these and it will run pretty well. So I'm withholding my final judgment until I actually get to get in there and play the game. But I think about like how fucking great that's going to work on Metroid Prime 2 and how great that's going to work on Overwatch 2, because it's inevitable we'll get a version of that, or Marvel Rivals, it's inevitable we'll get a version of that, or a lot of first person shooter games. This is really going to be a game changer, and I'm really excited about it. E3VL says ergonomics is an issue. Sure, you got to be careful with ergonomics, but you shouldn't be playing video games too long anyway. And there are other, you know, you can have a wrist pad with that mouse, so there are other things you can do. Hopefully you can, you know, and E3VL says hopefully there's a glove or sleeve to make the mouse bigger. Hopefully, my honest to God, hopefully there's a way you can just replace the Joy-Con with a real mouse. That should be possible. Why can't I just replace the Joy-Con controller with a real mouse that sends the same Bluetooth signal over to that would be That would be the tits. That would be amazing. But
yeah, maybe
until we know, we don't.
Yeah. Pokemon Legends ZA also getting a Switch 2 edition. I mean, that's no brainer.
Thank God.
Drag X Drive.
Bobby says a lot of the games that use the mouse also use the gyro, so it's not a one-to-one to a real mouse. I still wonder if for some of these port games, okay, so maybe less your Mario or maybe less your Metroid Prime 4, but your Overwatch ports, let's say, I still wonder if that isn't something that couldn't be possible. Just like you can plug a keyboard in the PlayStation 5. Most games don't support it, but there's a couple that do. And none of
Microsoft
them are first.
Does that a lot,
yeah,
too.
I would just be curious if it's possible. That's all, because I think that again, it could be a game changer. Anyway,
Drag X Drive, which was that wheelchair basketball game using the like double
mouse controls,
which
that
is
was
kind
fucking
of
cool. That was a really cool concept, and I think that's going to make a lot of people feel seen, and that's really cool. Darksoccer, did you see that game?
Which one?
It's so you take both Joy-Cons in their mouse mode, and it's a wheelchair basketball game, and you move them like
you're moving
a wheelchair around. And you should. It was a neat trailer. I was that's a game. I don't play a lot of sports games, but it wasn't just the fact that it was like wheelchair basketball, which we haven't really seen in gaming, but it had like a Rocket League kind of vibe to it. That made it really cool to me. Anyway.
Yeah. Of course, next big announcement, third party game, Elden Ring coming to the Switch 2. So Elden Ring Tarnished Edition. Also got confirmation that Hades 2 is coming to the Switch 2. Lots of third party games, Street Fighter 6, getting a Years 1 to 2 Fighters Edition, which is including 26 characters. Daemon X Machina, Titanic Scion is coming to the Switch 2, as well as Split Fiction 2, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. I want to say also Hitman World of Assassination, Project 007, Borderlands 4, Bravely Default getting a remaster, Yakuza.
I'm into that, actually.
New Hyrule Warriors, Age of Imprisonment.
Cool. That was actually really cool. I'm glad Hyrule Warriors is coming back again. I'm excited to play that. And all the third-party support, cool. I mean, like, it needed that. We knew there's going to be a lot of catch-up games that come out. Cool. I'm glad the Switch 2 is being supported. It needs it. Cool.
And then they announced that because of the more powerful hardware, that it will be able to offer a Nintendo GameCube emulation as part of Nintendo Classics through Nintendo Online Expansion Pass, which includes the starter games Wind Waker, Soul Calibur 2, and F-Zero GX.
There's
also a GameCube controller.
There's a part of me that's like, only three games, but then I'm also like, they picked a killer lineup of three. Like, if you could only pick three GameCube games to launch your service with, they picked a really solid three. Like, obviously, I am super psyched about F-Zero. And I heard this on Bobby's show. Apparently, he was watching the Treehouse streams, and they confirmed that the widescreen modes will work. Because you may or may not recall, you could flip F-Zero to play, because the GameCube actually had a composite input that would allow you to play in 480p, progressive scan. And therefore, you could play widescreen games in F-Zero, and it looked fucking amazing, right? And so you can do in the emulator will allow you to play widescreen. And so I didn't realize Soul Calibur 2 had a widescreen mode. How about that? Oh, Chad is saying Super Mario Strikers is confirmed for the lineup too. So that must have been a Treehouse announcement or something.
Well, they had a bunch of other game titles that they showed like after they showed the three games off. Like I remember there was, of course, Mario Sunshine.
The drip feed. Please look forward to the drip feeding for the next 2 years. Yes.
Yeah, Pokemon Stadium, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. What else?
Loki. This is very important when it comes to that. Something that we're saying, yay, F-Zero, yay, Soul Calibur. I want you to remember, some time ago, Nintendo allowed their emulators to be played across the internet. So you can now play. I could play Soul Calibur 2 with Dark Sakura, with us both being at home across the internet. We could do a Link versus Ivy match or something in Soul Calibur, like we were on the same couch. F-Zero, we could all... Did F-Zero support up to four people, or was it just two?
Yes, that's four.
Now, I don't know if the GameCube client will let you do four people online. I don't know if...
I think it will.
I don't know if Nintendo Treehouse confirmed that or not, but think about that for a minute, that we're going to be able to play four-player across... Okay, Treehouse showed it. We're going to be able to play four-player across the internet in F-Zero. So that's something... Yeah, so yes, we're getting excited about 20-year-old games, but we're going to be able to play them in a way we weren't able to play them 20 years ago. That's huge. That's a Twitch stream. That's a VOG Network Twitch stream now. Bobby Blackwolf and the cast of OLR beat each other up in F-Zero GX. Could be a thing. Anyway.
What else? Deltarune chapters 1 through 4. Also, Civ 7. You know, of course, using the mouse support that they have with the Joy-Con 2. Cyberpunk 2077 Ultimate Edition coming as well. Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate. And a bunch of other games that they showed off as well. One of the ones I was very excited about. Let's see. So Enter the Gungeon 2 looked amazing. So that's going to be cool. And then they also get a brand new exclusive From Software game called The Duskbloods, which looks like a vampire Souls-like game. And that's launching next year as well. Kirby Air Riders, brand new Kirby game coming as well, as a follow-up to Kirby Air Ride. And then, of course, the last game that they finished it off with looks like a Mario Odyssey game, but Donkey Kong Bonanza. And it's kind of like the Donkey Kong Odyssey, but not. But along those lines. And that is coming out July 17th.
For only $70. Chat feels you buried the lead on Kirby Air Riders and legally to see. Look, we're an hour plus into the show. We have to cut a few corners. We don't, you know, we'll address those games in greater detail when we get our hands on them at some point. But that leads me to this question. I think you still do you have more, Loki, at some point? But I want to
pre-orders. Okay.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So originally with pre-orders, so there's a few, obviously you can pre-order through retailers and stuff. Nintendo also is taking pre-orders. However, there are some caveats there. So they are allowing you to place a pre-order or interest in a pre-order if you have a Nintendo Online membership, you have must have had paid for a member minimum of 12 months for that membership, and have at least... sharing your gameplay stats as well as 50 hours of total gameplay on that account, basically to try to combat scalpers,
I don't know about the restricting it to the paid online only. I think that's a little crappy, but it's all right. I understand why they have to do it. They have to draw the line somewhere, and they want to make sure the real gamers get it. So I can't. It's not a hill I want to die on. It is what it is. By the way, Mike Defton chat says, at least mention Sakurai is returning to work on a Kirby game since for like two decades. Yes. And never ask him for anything ever again. Did you see, of course, the YouTubers are already going crazy on like some fucking leak on Super Smash Brothers, which, you know, I'm not, people are going crazy on YouTube. Yeah, I know. But I think it's reasonable to expect, it feels like one of those things is just safe. Betting that a Super Smash Brothers will come out on the Switch 2, I just feels like it's one of those things where it's like, that's just a safe thing to try to make yourself look like a genius. I called it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. There's going to be a Mario game. There'll probably be a Splatoon 4. No shit, Sherlock. Anyway, sorry.
No, I think that's about it.
Okay.
For Switch 2 stuff. I mean, honestly, it's been a lot. We still have a lot to find out, like with what's going on with pre-orders, if they're going to open those back up. I mean, at the end of the day, and I hate to say that I'm part of the problem, I still probably will order one. But with that caveat, though, like the only difference though with that is with the Switch right now, like I've been picking up a lot of the first party games as they come out, like pretty much as they come out. I don't know if that would be the case with the Switch 2 because of the additional cost for everything. But I mean, it's obviously something we're going to play. I mean, we're going to get our money's worth out of it. It's just, yeah, I still don't like the idea of it basically giving the okay to the rest of the game industry. It would be a different situation if the other game companies in the gaming industry had the same quality as Nintendo. We would be having a whole different conversation here. But unfortunately, that's just not the landscape that we live in. And the way that these other companies treat their consumers and treat their employees, I don't feel that they are worth $80 a game. They have not shown us that they are responsible enough to release games in a finished state that is, you know, is worth $80 at the outset. And they have not shown us that we can trust them to even just follow through with their promises in these games in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I just honestly think that it's a huge mistake to just give them that pass.
Jamie, where's your head at with Switch 2 and all this? Because I remember last week I felt like you were a little tepid because you were kind of like, we don't really play our Switch a lot. So I'm curious where your head's at on Switch 2 right now.
I'm still about the same as I was last week. I mean, I want to wait and see how things play out.
Yeah.
I watched some reviews. One of my favorite tech reviewers, Mr. Who's the Boss, did a video. I actually posted it on my Blue Sky a couple days ago. Comparing the OLED Switch to the LCD on the Switch 2 in that it was brighter and more vibrant. Talking about how it felt in the hand, about the way that the Joy-Con snap on and almost lock in place, how firm they are. I think in construction, it definitely sounds like it's a far better product. And I'm interested in that respect. I mean, I would love to have a new Animal Crossing. I mean, certainly a new Animal Crossing would sell a system for me. But right now, there's not enough going on it that I would want to rush right out and get one. It's not wait in line worthy for me at this point.
I think that's fair, especially because, you know, when we saw the titles coming out for it, we really only saw stuff, you know, at least first party, for just a few months out. There was no holiday announcement from Nintendo, which I found
Pokemon. We still don't know what Pokemon and all that stuff's coming out.
Well, but
I don't care about Pokemon.
Right.
I don't care about Mario Kart because I don't really find it fun. I certainly don't care about Donkey Kong games because I haven't thought any of them were particularly fun. Kirby's great. You know, I like Kirby. I haven't bought the last couple ones. There's just nothing really that super interests me about it other than that it seems like it would be a much brighter and sturdier and certainly larger screen to play my old shit on.
Well, I guess my point in bringing that up was that I still feel like, you know, with E3 not being a thing anymore, we still have the Summer Game Fest. And now I guess whatever the ESA is, apparently, you know, the other time that we've kind of gone, wow, that might be an interesting thing they're doing. I already forgot the name of the show, but the not E3 thing that they're going to be doing in the summer at some point, that's E3 without the show floor, basically. Maybe Nintendo will announce another flagship title that could be. Oh, iAcon is coming in 2026. My bad. I thought it was this year. Okay.
I know it's not going to have Dead by Daylight.
But it could, you know, maybe
they're having problems with.
Huh? I was going to say maybe that Animal Crossing or that game you really want is holiday. Maybe.
Yeah. But I know that they're not going to have a Dead by Daylight on it because of some programming issues.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's at least what I've been hearing so far. I mean, it could happen, but I play on my Mac anyway, so what's the point? It's really, you know me, at this point, I own how many systems? And I don't need to have any more right now. I mean, you know, I didn't buy my Switch, right?
Yeah, you won it in a work raffle or something.
I won my Switch.
Yeah.
We didn't really have any much of an intention of buying one at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of in the same boat. So maybe I'll win another one. Who knows? And then I'll have one. Yay.
For me,
I'm just not excited.
I'm actually kind of there with Loki. Like, maybe I'm part of the problem, but yeah, I want to pre-order one if the tariff thing is resolved. Which, again,
yeah, and also we have to see what the price is too, because after tariffs, if it's like $600,
that's right. I'm not paying.
And who is in line for? Were any of us in line for PS5s?
No,
I was not.
But I did get a Series X on launch day. And I probably would have gotten a PS5 on launch day if I could have, but I ended up waiting 2 years for a PS5, and that it worked out okay, you know. And that might end up being the case with Switch 2, especially since we know that the Switch 1 still has a lot of games coming out for it. But I'm into the technology, especially when I think about 4-player F-Zero and GameCube. When I think about how much better Pokemon Legends ZA is going to run on it, how much I want to play Metroid Prime 4 with those controls, but. To that extent, but I will not pay more than $450 or $500. I'll say $500 because obviously I'm going to get that bundle with Mario Kart that makes the price a lot more digestible. But I will not pay more than $500 for it. So if tariffs fuck the whole situation, I will just wait. I'll wait. I'm definitely not going to the used market for it. Fuck all of them. So I'm definitely not doing that.
Well, what might sell one for us would be maybe a Smash.
Oh, there you go. Well, if you want to believe things that are reported to YouTube from 4chan, next year will be the time. But again, I don't give that any. Yeah, it's whatever. But where I will also agree with Loki that I will give, and this is across the board. This is not just Nintendo. I'm going to give a lot more consideration to where I'm dropping my money for games. I'm not going to buy games on a fucking whim. I'm going to buy games when I know I have the time to sit down and play them and that I want to dedicate the time to put into them. That's going to be my thing moving forward. I'm not going to spend $80 on a game. Hell, as far for that Donkey Kong game, as neat as that whole thing looks and stuff, I'm not pre-ordering that, and I'm not paying $70 the day it comes out until I hear it is so good. I'm missing something and I have the time in my life to sit down and play that game. And even then, I will probably still leverage bargaining like Costco, Nintendo gift cards, assuming that's still a thing, or whatever I can leverage to try to make that price a little more digestible.
Well, and here's my other thing. I would probably get a Steam Deck before I get a Switch 2.
That's fair. I love my Steam Deck. My Steam Deck's great.
I have the library.
Yeah.
I mean... I honestly, though, I don't really bring portable systems with me anymore. I just usually have my iPad if I travel.
Oh,
so
my Switch 2 will always be docked because that's how I am always my Switch 1. The only time I take my Switch 1 out of the dock is when I'm going on an airplane. That's it.
I don't take my Switch with me when I travel. I just bring my iPad, and typically I read books.
I'm usually going to a gaming con where I'll be able to get you or a con with gamers where I feel I'll be able to get use out of it. That's why.
I still read books. I haven't brought one to TwitchCon anytime I've been to TwitchCon. I might bring the Game Boy Micro just for lols.
All right. Def says you could use the Steam Deck to stream games via a capture card. Well, that's a clever use for it. Yeah. So yeah, I'm oddly landing in the same boat as Loki, where it's like, yeah, I'll pre-order one, but I'm going to give a lot more thought to how I'm spending my money on games. A lot more thought to that. And Nintendo's habit of never putting games on sale, I don't know if that's going to fly anymore in the year 2025, but we'll see. We'll see.
I'm not ordering shit.
Oh yeah, fuck pre-orders.
I'm not putting my name down for anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting my money.
Well, except
down
for the
for
system
anything.
Itself. Except for the system itself. That's all.
No, not even for the system.
No, for me,
fuck
I will.
It.
For me, I will because
I'm not.
You're not.
I have zero.
Well, that's
need
you.
To do that,
yeah, you are welcome to your opinion, but I will get one to get the system.
Point. Here's the point. The reason why is because I want to send the message that there's not interest because of the price points they're setting for everything. If you're like, oh, I don't like this price point for this, or I'm not going to support that, and you're still putting your name down for one, that's still sending them the message that what they're doing is okay.
I sort of always expected this thing to be $500. And that's where I'm at. But I won't pay more than that because of stupid ass tariffs and rules and things like that. So, all right. We talked a lot about the Switch, but we knew we would. We knew it was that kind of night, and this is the thing that everybody's talking about tonight. We welcome your feedback as well. We welcome your thoughts, whether it's as simple as what DeboPop12 says in chat, Nintendo Switch 2 for the win, or Bob Coffey, who says the console price for the Switch 2 is reasonable. It's the game prices that are WTF. Or Def saying the price of the console ain't the problem. Bob Blackwell says the game key cards are just the digital key, like a UB key or other hardware authentication device. We will get your comments, not just through chat, but also email. This is a great topic to send us if you have more in-depth thoughts. Participate at orangelaundry.com if you want to send us an email with your in-depth thoughts. And then, of course, we also welcome the Bleats over on Blue Sky. Our username on Blue Sky is domain-based. It's orangelaundry.com on Blue Sky if you want to send us some Bleats over there. For the meantime, believe it or not, we have other gaming things to talk about. And we're going to start, as usual, by talking about our gaming weeks. So, Darkstalker, let's start with you. How was your gaming week?
I played the usual stuff. Actually, I started Mass Effect last night for my semi-retro night now. Because I really wanted to play Mass Effect. I just had the overwhelming sense of nostalgia and thanks to my chat, my shepherd is named Meg because of me being a dirty Meg main.
At least you didn't have to name her Pigu.
I would have named her Amanda.
Fair.
Yeah. And then, you know, me talking shit about the characters the whole time because I'm allowed to. And of course I didn't play any Monster Hunter. I need a break from it. It's a little bit too much for my head. But I played some Dead by Daylight and we had 5 ghoul games in a row. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to play. Although I did play Rize for my games. And it's definitely different after me playing almost exclusively Pig for a while. It was different. Also, still playing Fruit Mountain. I'm still playing my stupid little Mahjong game. Balatro. I've been playing Balatro when I'm not doing anything. I mean, it's just sort of like my stupid clicky game at this point. I'm not really addicted to it. It's just, you know, it's the same reason I play Mahjong. I played some Palia. Actually, I've got my second property in Palia now. And I've made it just for touring. It's sort of like this magical Witch in the Woods theme. And then I think my second theme I'm going to do when I do my next property, is going to be like all railroads. So we'll see. I was playing something else and my brain kind of farted on what it was. So yeah, that was it. So I'm back to Mass Effect. And I was like, Garrus, I want to date you now.
All right.
He showed up and my response was soon.
Loki, your gaming week.
Let's see. It was Minecraft. I played lots of Minecraft and then I put out another episode.
Good job.
5 weeks in a row now. So that's
good.
Great.
Job.
And yeah, and I also went and saw the Minecraft movie twice.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Tell us how you felt about the Minecraft movie as somebody who consumes a lot of Minecraft.
I really liked it. I don't even think you necessarily have to consume a lot of Minecraft. A lot of people were like early to judge it based off of like, oh, well, I don't play Minecraft, so I don't understand any of this and stuff. But like, honestly, it's more.
Well, apparently, there's like, plenty not in that boat because it did banging business this weekend. I'm not sure if you saw, but it made more money than the Mario Brothers movie did, which, you know, could be inflation, but it did well. That's. The takeaway: the Minecraft movie has done very well. It did better than Captain America. It's the biggest weekend this year.
I was gonna say that it's got a lot of absurd humor, like Jared Hess's other movies, like Napoleon Dynamite, especially. There's like, even before we even get into like the Minecraft world, there's just a lot of absurd characters that they like kind of introduce, and you know, just like one of the funny bits in the beginning. So the two of the kids are moving into this brand new town after their mom passed away or something like that, and so he goes to a brand new school, and the vice principal's like, yeah, I like to overshare. It just like completely starts talking about her like divorce and all this stuff, like just like all this stuff overshared. Then you see the next scene, he goes to his class and his teacher's like just oversharing again. It's like, I claim $4,000 on my tax returns, you know, just like ridiculous stuff. Like the whole thing was full of ridiculous characters and a bunch of ridiculous scenes in there as well. I thought it was funny. It was like a weird dry sense of humor, I guess. I like that kind of stuff. Certainly, like, if you're going into it expecting, like, Minecraft story mode or something like that, where it's a story in Minecraft, you know, around Minecraft mechanics and stuff like that, you're not really going to find
Minecraft has a plot?
It.
Like,
it's not, like, but it was funny. Like, I don't know. I enjoyed it enough to go see it twice, and I thought it was really funny both times, and everybody in the theater had a good time too. And a lot of, like, I know that some of the complaints I've seen too is like, well, they're just shouting out, you know, the lines that they saw in the trailer and stuff like that. Yeah, like some people do going to Rocky Horror Picture Show and stuff
It's okay, hold up. Fun. Hold up. Rocky Horror Picture Show is a unique experience that people expect to see. Like, I don't know. The talking back to the movie, I don't know. It's multiple ways, because I don't think I'm interested in seeing the Minecraft movie with kids yelling back at it, but that doesn't mean I won't see it. And I'm actually pleased to hear it's doing well, because that means it'll stay in theaters for a month. So if I wait a month and go see it towards the end of its run, there's the audience will be a lot quieter, and I think it'll be fine. And I'll probably enjoy myself. But then I will admit, I think back to the time I saw The Matrix. I saw The Matrix twice in theaters. The first time I saw it in theaters, I saw it in a normal kind of setting and stuff, and it was a good time. The second time, I saw it at the Dollar Theater with a full, because it was the very first weekend that it showed up at the Dollar Theater. It was a very full house with a very diverse crowd that loved to talk through the movie. And I will say, I had a really fucking good time. Like, I fucking loved it. Like, you haven't lived until you've seen The Matrix with that opening scene where she's like doing the crane kick and somebody's like yelling out, fuck yeah, get him, girl, you know, things like that. It's just like, I loved it. I had a great time. So I don't know. I guess I'm a little torn, but yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I had a good time. So it is worth it, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's not like the best acting. It's certainly not to the level of like a Lego movie or something like that, where like there's a, you know, big story. But like, honestly, there's a lot of it that I identify with, in the sense, because not to get too spoilery, but like, essentially they show Steve in the beginning, and he's like from the real world, and he's basically this guy that's stuck in an office job. And just unhappy with not being able to be creative in that office job. Like, they're seeking creativity and like an outlet for that outside.
I don't know anyone that feels that way.
It's outside the doldrum of your office corporate life existence and stuff like that. And it's like, yes, that's completely identifiable. Like, I completely relate with that. And I think that there's a lot of that stuff, like, you know, even with Jason Momoa's character kind of trying to, you know, live off the glory of your past or something like that, and just trying to adapt with the fact that, like, you know, hey, you got to move on, you know, that type of thing, or just be better, or whatever the case may be. So everybody's kind of had like their own like growth in the story. And it's funny, because like, even parts like, you know, where Jack Black's character is not really likable, you know, in certain parts. But the thing that's funny, though, is there's a lot of physical humor in it as well. Like, just like people just getting completely destroyed by like, in fights and stuff like that. And it's funny because it's stupid. And just the long drawn out like gags that they have are really hilarious. To me, I think. I don't know. But then again, I'm a guy that like, you know, I went and saw Kung Pao in the theaters like 8 times. Like, I don't even know. Like, it's like, I like dumb movies.
Jennifer Coolidge is in it.
Yes, Jennifer Coolidge is in it, and she is the vice principal who overshares everything, and it is ridiculous.
I love her so much. I really do. Anyway.
But, yeah, it's good. I recommend checking it out.
I just want to see it, so I have more impressions to put in my catalog. Anyway.
It's like, or yeah, when she's like hitting on the garbage man, which is Jason Momoa's character. He's Garrett the Garge Man Garrison or something like that. This is how ridiculous his character is. So he's like great at this like arcade beat 'em up game. It's like Final Fight or something like that. And so he would be, it's a 2-player co-op game. He was playing both sides. It's like that's his character. It's just like ridiculous.
I also heard this involves a mention of an Atari Cosmos.
Yes, there's an Atari Cosmos that's he's trying to win because he owns a retro game store and they're evicting him because he needs to pay his rent. And so he was bidding on storage lock, you know, basically like storage units, and one that had an Atari Cosmos in it. But, you know, obviously something happens. But like that, or like, you know, eventually when they find the device to get to the Minecraft world or whatever, it comes with like a warning that's like super specific for Jason Momoa's character. So like, whatever you do, don't put this thing inside this thing. And it's like, and then on the other side, but if you're a struggling business or a small business owner who's really hard on finances right now, I just want to let you know that like, there's tons of riches here. Not that you should come here anyways, but, you know, just letting you know that there's tons of riches here as well. It's like, it's so oddly specific that it makes it even funnier. Or, I don't remember who it was I've seen, like, when they're talking about, like, writing comedy jokes. But essentially, you know, to make the joke like, oh, no, I hit somebody with my car again, could be funny, but saying like, oh no, I hit somebody with my Jeep Grand Cherokee again, that's funnier. And that's kind of that premise that they took with this movie as well. They get very oddly specific with some of the gags, and it just
sounds up my alley, to be honest.
It's silly. It's silly, and I love it, and it's ridiculous, and you just have to kind of, it's not realistic. It's just a silly movie that's like a Napoleon Dynamite or Nacho Libre. I don't know.
I'm open to seeing it at some point. So it's just I never get to the movies. I was supposed to see that Looney Tunes movie. Never did. Just, you know, things happen.
Yes, the Tiger Claw mentioned there's one joke in the movie involving Jason Momoa and Jack Black. Yes, all I'm going to say is full man sandwich. It's great. That right. Scene, it's the absolute just, like, most ridiculous thing. And it's great. Full all man right. Sandwich.
All right. Okay. So it sounds like a good review for the Minecraft movie from Loki. So great. Anything else for your gaming week you want to share, Loki?
I know a little bit of Balatro, but that's about it.
My gaming week was very retro of sorts. I was gaming at a friend's house and we were playing old games. Like, I played the original Mario Kart, we played Mario Kart 8, we played Luminous, we were playing some fighting games like Mortal Kombat Armageddon, of all things, like very random. That game is so clunky now to me. It did not age well, I will see that. So yeah, I was doing some retro stuff. And then I was playing retro, I was playing Castlevania. So I don't know. I've been in like a weird retro mood lately. I haven't been playing a lot of the newer stuff. I've not been moving on Diablo 4, but granted, there's not a new season until the end of the month. And oddly, very quiet for me on Final Fantasy 14 as well. But I had like a lot of stuff going on after work this week, so I just didn't really have a lot of time to sit down and play it. So maybe I'll get around to that next week because I still have a new dungeon I want to play in that game. But yeah, just been a lot of other things going on. Still playing Pikmin, Ingress, Pokemon Go. Still playing all that. Do you know how many fucking Burmese I've caught in Pokemon Go this last week? Holy moly. I'm over it. I don't want to see any more Burmese anymore. there's some event going on in the game, and for whatever reason, the Burmese spawns are increased by like 5 times as part of the event, as it's caught so many of them. This is wild. But I've gotten some more shinies. I caught a shiny Meowth today very randomly. I have to, one reason why I don't maybe have as much time for games in the evening is I have really been trying to prioritize walking. And I think I talked about this last week because I was joking about my Pikmin scores. And that's kind of continued this week. I'm still walking a lot. But it's a great feeling. I need to be doing it. And so I'm thriving in things like Pikmin Bloom. And yeah, I still do a lot of Pokemon Go catching. I keep running out of Pokeballs, though. So like I'll have to run it for a walk. And then when I drive a quick errand, I have to set it to spin stops only and then make sure I actually get through all my fucking gifts that I can in a day and all of that stuff. So yeah, Bobby in chat says, yes, Rob cleared the weekly challenges before I could contribute again. You're welcome? Question mark. But I also recognize I have had a change in my own habits, and that's how I'm going to be doing it because I walk a lot. So there is no, I don't feel any sort of way about other folks because I'm pushing my own goals, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I haven't seen any shiny Burmese with all those Burmese. I agree with you in chat. That is a weird thing I've noticed. And I did do some of the mega raids. I did a mega Audino because I've been playing more Pokemon Go. I've been remembering to put my Pokemon in gyms every day. So I'm actually getting coins again. And I bought remote passes just because, God, it's so much easier to just do the mega Audino. And then there was a Tauros today that's regional. I think it's a Galarian variant, I think, that I did today. So I've been able to do that, which is not, I love the best quality of life thing they've put in Pokemon Go in a while is that instead of friends inviting you to raids, well, they can still do that. If you go into your list of friends, you see who's in a raid right now. And so like, I was like, oh, somebody's doing a Pokemon that is a gray outline. I don't have this yet. What are they doing? Oh, okay. I'll hop in, which is kind of nice. So, all right. That was my game of week. Let's move on. We have some other stories this week that actually don't have to do with Nintendo, believe it or not. Dark Soccer is going to start us off tonight with the successes of a non-Nintendo game.
And this is supposed to be kind of hinted at like a Sims killer, or at least a huge competitor. And that's a game called Inzoi by Krafton, as in, you know, the PUBG folks. But now, even though it's in early access, it has topped 1 million sales within its week of launching. Hmm. And so they're really they're calling it a player friendly operational strategy, and they're really excited about how many people have adopted it, and that they want to be known as more than just the PUBG company. they have a subsidiary studio, which is Inzoi Studio, that's handling this. And this is a game that's actually on my wish list, although I've been debating whether or not I'm going to get it because I need to know a little bit more about how their AI technology works in it. Because apparently you can use AI tools in the game to give it a prompt, and then it will make like a pattern or something like patterns for clothing and things like that. And I need to know a little bit more about it, like if it's all in-house art generated or how much of user input it uses, like to train their models. I don't know enough about it, but it definitely looks prettier than the Sims games. It's still stylized, but it almost looks like a lot of, like what a lot of my Sims mods look like. So it's a, I think I might take the plunge on it, but it certainly is, and there's already videos out there too with people building a house in The Sims and then rebuilding it in Inzoi.
Interesting.
And showing like the comparison between how the building tools work. And apparently Inzoi's building tools are a lot more intuitive.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about this game at all besides what you're saying now. So I brought up a YouTube to play us some B-roll. Somebody's playing a long play right now, and it's like they're putting together like this. They're choosing to put crocodiles in their animal sanctuary. Then they have like lights that glow and all this. This looks very fancy. Very fancy.
It's very pretty. Like, and I'm pretty sure that my Mac would play it with no problem. I am. It does have a little bit more realism, but it also has that sort of I don't know. It just has that specific aesthetic that you see in like watching Asian dramas.
Hmm.
That's the only way I can describe it.
Interesting. This game was totally not on my radar.
Kind of feel. It's $40. So on top of that, it's actually
that
not
dude like looks like Duke Nukem.
That character did look kind of like Duke Nukem. That's really funny. Interesting.
But isn't it really pretty?
Yeah, it's the graphics in this are gorgeous. That's interesting. Questbuster in chat says there's already a ton of mods available for this. So there's also that, even though it's, you know, early access.
Yeah. Interesting. And my thing is that while I would love to do the mods, I would have to figure out how to, if it will run in Whiskey, and then if I can make my mods run through Whiskey. So wish me luck if I decide to go that route.
Good luck. All right. Well, I look forward to potentially you streaming this game in the future. Who knows? All right.
God, I need more nights in the week.
Yeah. Mood.
I'm not quitting ballet to stream again.
Mood. Loki, you have more on the Minecraft movie.
Yes. Ironically enough, there has been an early work print of Minecraft the movie that has leaked online. It was with unfinished visuals and different editing. And funny enough, I actually took a look at it, and there are some extended parts of this that are not in the movie that they decided to cut out for whatever reason. Because there are some spots like it felt very sudden or unexplained, and then there's like additional context with some of these deleted scenes as well. So it's an interesting look at like the movie making process, but I'm sure that Warner Brothers isn't too happy about it. But also, I don't care what Warner Brothers thinks, because it made it such a hassle to get the new Looney Tunes Acme versus Coyote movie out. So to hell with them.
Hey, but we're finally going to get that movie. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Do you feel the way about like seeing those deleted scenes in context with having already seen a movie, that it adds to your experience in watching the movie?
It does, like, because, like, okay, so not to give away too much, like, so there's this weird gag that they keep saying that Steve smells, and they're like, why do I smell like cheese? And he's like, well, I like to keep a piece of Gorgonzola in my front pocket. And it's never explained why he does that. Like, it's just a weird, like, oh, he's just weird, and he does that. But, creepy. Like, in the work print, he explains, I keep this in my front pocket because it's my best friend's favorite food and I miss him so much. He's talking about his dog that he's trying to save. And so it gives additional context to that, like that it's missing from the movie. It's really only a few seconds, but for whatever reason, they chose to cut it out. There's also another scene when they go to the Woodland Mansion where they're like trying to run like interference by singing this song and dance with like these saxophones or whatever. And it's just like kind of out of nowhere. But the beginning, like this cut of it has it where they are talking about, oh yeah, we're going to do like a birthday gram type thing. And so they have added context to it that's not in the movie, but they cut it out to save on runtime or something. I don't really know. It's weird. There's also another musical number that's like kind of cut out as well from the office scene. But other than that, it's pretty similar. It's just cut down a bit. So I guess you'll see these, probably on the DVD release or whatever, or, you know, Blu-ray release when it comes out, you know, this deleted scenes. But I think it's interesting to kind of see that stuff, you know, in the process that they work through everything. And I've seen some screenshots of like, you know, the pre-viz like villagers and stuff where they have obviously like the big, where the head's supposed to be, but you see the actual people's heads. And so it's kind of freakish looking. And that's kind of funny too. But, you know, the movie making process is fun.
All right.
I like that with movies too.
Yeah, I think deleted scenes can be fun. Like the types that give the additional context and things they cut out. Yeah, sometimes they're pointless, but sometimes they're interesting. I want to talk about this story that has to do with good old Billy Mitchell, whose name continues to come up throughout the gaming industry and all this. Although this is an interesting story, because even though it's about Billy Mitchell and a lot of the hysteria that surrounds him online, this actually has nothing to do directly with the cheating scandal. And this is something that a lot of you were talking about on Discord this week. This is what compelled me to bring this up on the show tonight, because enough of you were talking about it on Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord. And this has to do with the fact that Billy Mitchell was the recipient of this law determination where a YouTuber named Carl Jobst will have to pay over $230,000 in damages to Billy Mitchell because of defamatory comments that were found made by Carl Jobst in a video that was published back in 2001. Now, I'm not sure if that $237,000, if that is a Australian dollar figure or if that's converted into US dollars.
No,
oh, I'm sorry.
That's converted to US.
It is, you're right.
Yeah, it's $380,000.
Thank you. Oh, really? Bobby says I'm in the same YouTube video. I didn't know that. So Bobby Blackwolf was in an Australian court of law at some point in this video? Because, okay, so Bobby did some panel at Southern Fried Game Expo that had Billy Mitchell on it. But Billy Mitchell, in Billy Mitchell's way, kind of took over that whole fucking panel. And Bobby really didn't get to get a word in edgewise. And so he's there, but he didn't really have a lot to do with the situation from what I understand. And that's, you know, this whole Variety article and all this crap that came out as a result of it. I didn't know that the YouTuber actually used that panel. That is so interesting. Okay, well, as a result of that, defamation. It was found that Carl Jobst has to pay. And here's why. It actually has nothing to do with the Donkey Kong scandal. It's not that, you know, he was calling out the scandal or anything like that. Here's the thing. The video was called "The Biggest Con Man in Video Game History Strike Again." And basically implied in the video that the settlement that Billy Mitchell did with another YouTuber, Benjamin Smith, or Apollo Legend, who had done several videos claiming Billy Mitchell had cheated, basically said that, you know, as a result of the cheating thing, that Benjamin Smith had to pay a large sum of money and unfortunately took his own life in 2020. You know, certainly complicated with other mental health problems and likely what was going on in the world at the time. I am not well informed enough on the case to definitively say what did that, but obviously that's a horrible situation. But, and here's the thing. So in that same video, Jobst said Mitchell had expressed joy at the thought of Benjamin Smith dying. That was the defamation, insinuating that Billy Mitchell took delight in this other YouTuber taking his own life. That was the problem. It had nothing to do with the actual Donkey Kong. It had nothing to do with the video game at the end of the day, and everything to do with the really strange cult of celebrity that continues to surround a lot of these Twin Galaxy folks, but mostly Billy Mitchell. And so that was it. So the judge, Ken Barlow, said that the 2020 settlement between Mitchell and Smith never involved the exchange of money. Smith had to remove all the YouTube video and social media posts that were relating, assign copyright, and to cease publishing about Billy Mitchell, or would have a $25,000 fine for each breach. And then there were some other claims made in the video that were found to be untrue. In a post on X, Jobst said, "I lost. The judge found Billy to be a credible witness and believed his entire testimony. From that point on, unfortunately, there was really nothing that could have saved me. I will now obviously consider my options. I know many of you will be upset with this, and I'm sorry for that. Thank you again for all the support I've received, and I will endeavor to work as hard as I can to repay all that you are owed." Look,
I thought he would win that case, honestly. But I'm surprised.
Don't YouTubers sometimes need to be held accountable for some of this? Like, some of this hysteria has to have a point. And I would have a problem if somebody said that I took delight in somebody taking their own life. I would have a real problem with that. You know, it's like, talk all the shit you want about Donkey Kong, but there are certain lines that should not be crossed for the sake of clicks. And I don't know. That was just... That's not great optics. I have not seen the video because I don't give a fuck about this situation. I haven't given a fuck about it for a long time. And
nor
I'm never
you.
Nor should I give a fuck. Nor should anybody give a fuck about this situation as far as I'm concerned. But here we are. Anyway, just consider if you're going to do a video to hate on somebody, are you actually helping that person more than Forget it. Forget. I'm yelling at a wall. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, here's some shit news. I'm just going to call it like it is. Eidos Montreal laid off 75 developers. They were pulling their mandate to restructure the company and apply their staff and finish their projects. And once all that came to fruition, and I'll just read the quote. "Today, we informed our studio staff that we are going to let go up to 75 valuable members as one of our mandates is coming to an end. It's not a reflection of their dedication or skills, but unfortunately, we don't have the capacity to entirely reallocate them to our other ongoing projects and services. So if you value them so much, why aren't you putting more effort into it?" And they go on to say that they are, quote, "committed to deliver its other projects currently in development," which is supposed to be Fable, I guess. Anyway. Mm. So, and in other game loss jobs, there's an Australian studio, PlaySide, is also doing layoffs even after they have made record revenue for them. They've pulled in $64.6 million Australian dollars, which would be about $40.9 million U.S. And that they were, it was triggered by delays for winning work for hire contracts. And they want winning new contract work, but said that the things remain uncertain for them. So, yeah.
This is a complicated, continues to be a very complicated issue, because you know there's a lot of people that are going to point to, you don't like to hear these types of stories, but you don't want to pay $80 for a video game. But I think fundamentally the system is just kind of broken to the, and I think it came to a point this several people were saying in chat earlier about the bubble is bursting on AAA games is what it's really coming down to. The bubble is really bursting on AAA games, which to some extent has been the case with AAA movies for a bit too. They don't want to green light movies that aren't proven, you know, sorts of things that are going to make, you know, all this money back or whatever. That it's almost a wiser financial decision to do more mid-budget games E3 VL says safe remakes, probably, to do those types of things that are going to ultimately be cheaper and not have these blown up budgets, that have the better return on investment, that, you know, you can make a return on investment by charging $40 or $50 a game versus, you know, 80. I think it's this weird reckoning we're in within the industry, but anyway, it's still very sad news to hear across the board. And I think the entire industry really needs to reevaluate, especially those at the top. And I think some companies recognize it better than others, and that's directly with who's at the top. Because again, you look at the decision Ubisoft makes. How that company's still in business, I don't know sometimes. But then you look at the company, the decisions that other companies make. So far, up until this week, Nintendo was riding quite the high. It's going to be interesting now to see if that continues for them. And I'm not sure even I want to take a crystal ball to that, to see how this is going to go. Because I think there is too much unpredictability with what's going on with our dear leader. All right, Loki, let's talk about some good news, something you were excited about.
Goat Direct. That's right. It was the April 1st Goat Simulator announcement video where they talked about different updates and things coming to the Goat Simulator game. Mostly side projects. So, for example, one of the first things that they announced was the Goat Simulator, the card game. They are giving a physical card game that is launching on Kickstarter April 30th, and allows you to play like a Goat Simulator type game with all the different like goats and gear that they have in the game. So that's
all the goats.
Neat. Yep. And
more goats and Goat Simulator, you don't say.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the Goat Simulator cross CRKD, the Nitro Deck and Neo S. They are it's basically like a little goat simulator themed wireless controller, and I don't know if this is something that plugs into like the Steam Deck or it's like a Steam Deck type thing. New controller collection and console decked out for themed artwork. Nitro Deck. It's also those work with the Nintendo Switch as well, Bluetooth controllers. Neat, I guess. I don't really know what those things are. Then for the actual game itself, there was the Goat Simulator 3 Gifts from the Rift. It's 23 or 27 new gear items that are available, plus some hidden stuff, as well as an alternate goat skin Pilgore plushie, which is based off of the U2's toy. They got a plushie toy that they also announced at the same time. Also, Pilgore, the main goat in Goat Simulator, the skin is coming back to Fortnite, so you'll be able to get that as well. And then finally, they teased a brand new expansion, expansion number 2, that's going to be coming to Goat Simulator 3, but didn't really say what it is, that it's just coming and being worked on. So we will have to see what that is. But if it's anything like the last one, it should be pretty good.
How much money did you lose watching this Goat Simulator Direct? Meaning, what are you planning on buying in the future?
I'll buy the new DLC when it comes out. Sure. I don't know what it is and when it's coming out. I'm definitely not buying the board game, nor am I getting the plushie or the controllers.
We didn't get into it at all, but if you want to hear an industry that's getting fucked by our dear leader and their tariff situation, look at what's happening with board games. Bobby detailed this on his show a lot tonight, but that's especially indie published board games. Those that, you know, have the indie stuff that's published overseas, just an industry that is going to be disrupted majorly by all of this Washington fuckery that's happening. So yeah, anyway, yeah. All right, well, something I hope we'll be able to release and will not be fucked with, these Evercades I think come out of Europe, so I don't know how that's all gonna go. And of course, you can see in the background here as we tape live, as we do every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, I actually have one of those little Evercade cabs behind me, and I think the concept of the Evercade's pretty cool. Yes, it's an emulator with cartridges, but I still like the collection concept, and you know, the fact that, you know, it's a pretty nice piece of hardware to play this stuff on. And there's another piece of hardware that's been announced that's coming out. It's the Super Pocket Neo Geo Edition. It is a $60 handheld, not a terrible price, that's set to release in June 2025. Again, assuming that, you know, everything fucky going on in Washington doesn't double that price. We'll just assume for now it's going to stay $60. It is a Neo Geo Pocket Super Pocket Edition that will have SNK arcade games in it. It's a black and gold color scheme that looks like a Neo Geo arcade cabinet and has 14 titles built in. Alpha Mission 2, Blazing Star, Fatal Fury Special, King of the Monsters 2, The Next Thing, Last Resort, Metal Slug X, Mutation Nation, Over Top, Samurai Showdown 2, Sengoku 3, Shock Troopers Second Squad, Soccer Brawl, The Last Blade, and Top Hunter, Roddy, and Kathy.
Fucking love Last Blade.
Top Hunter. There's a lot of those on Blue Sky. But anyway, I don't know that game as well. Darksaga, though, you're a Neo Geo fan. What do you think of this lineup? It's pretty, seems pretty solid to me.
Last Blade. Worth it for Last Blade.
Fair enough. Now, I believe they are also releasing a cartridge that just has 6 of those games in it. There also is a Data East version, which is ironic because it's off camera a little bit. But if you look way to the side, I do have a Data East Arcade 1-Up cabinet that has some of these games. There also is a Pocket Data East edition coming that, of course, has Burger Time. Of course, Bad Dudes and Dragon Ninja and Joe and Mac. But it also has one of the sequels, Peter Pepper's Ice Cream Factory, Lock and Chase, Tumble Pop. There's a lot of interesting games there. I wanted to see if we had the Neo Geo Evercade.
I do like the limited edition with the red and white stripes from
there's a limited MBS edition. Yeah, that looks cool. Now there is also an Evercade cartridge coming, Neo Geo Arcade 1, implying the existence of more than one at some point, but this is all we know about so far. So there will be a cartridge that you could put into any device, which would include the machine behind me, which would have Metal Slug, King of Fighters 2000, Sengoku, Magician Lord, Shock Troopers, and Ironclad. Not a bad lineup for one, you know, singular cartridge that will play on all the other Evercade devices. That's pretty rad. And keep in mind, these Neo Geo Super Pockets, they will have the 14 games built in, but then you can use the cartridges to add more. That's very similar to the bad boy that sits behind me here. It has the Mega Man, so I know it's hard to see, but it has some Capcom classics built in, like Arcade Strider, Mega Man Power Battle 1 and 2, that's what the marquee theming is, Final Fight are all in here, but they are like, they're baked into the firmware on this machine, so they're not cartridges. So ironically, what I have in here right now, I have the Mega Man, and then I have two Namco cartridges in there. So it's like a Cap Namco arcade machine I have behind me right now. But the one thing I can't do, Ms. Pac-Man isn't on the cartridge, so I can't have Ms. Pac-Man on both. Anyway. Aww. No. All right. Since I brought up classic games, this is a great time to get to our next segment. Let's get to it. Our sort of classic game of the week.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
But in a 2025 twist, once a month, Dark Sakura likes to instead pick a classic game to arcade, meaning this was once a console game, but became an arcade game. So Dark Sakura, what is the classic game to arcade this week?
It is Phantasy Zone 2, The Tears of Opa Opa, also known as Opa Opa no Namida. So basically, to give a little background on the game itself, and I know I've probably covered it, the original cartridge release was released in Japan in October 1987 for the Sega Master System and the Mark III, with ports all over the place. And basically, it's Opa Opa fighting his inner darkness. The game, of course, plays like Defender, very similar, with a big final boss, and you have, you know, the shop you can buy stuff in and whatnot. But there was an arcade version that was definitely prettied up, made very nice. And so it was done on the System E board. And that first one is almost identical to the Master System version. It has a radar that shows you where if your bases are destroyed or not. A timer that if it reaches zero, you'll lose life. If you clear a level, then your remaining seconds will be added to the score. This is okay, but then there was the remake of Phantasy Zone 2. And that was for System 16. This is the one that's pretty, and it is considered a what if. The point of it was to stick to what would have been the technical limitations of the game if it would have been released at this time. This is in September 2008. This is like if it had come out in arcades when it was supposed to have been released. And the M2 CEO, Hori Naoki, had stated that the remake was inspired by his disappointment that Phantasy Zone didn't get a true arcade sequel. His quote is, "I played the SMS game a lot, but in my heart of hearts, I really wanted to see it on arcade hardware." And so they developed it on real System 16 hardware, only increasing the memory to 256 kilobytes. And so they called this the System 16C. And it can even be played through their own emulation tech. So it has a 1987 Sega copyright, no mention of M2, and has really no other distinction from the original game. And it looks just like an arcade game from 1987. Some fans have even called this Phantasy Zone 2 DX, to tell it apart from the original arcade release. And this is the one that I have those very, very fun memories of. And Ohori actually funded this himself. Apparently, he said it cost about the same amount as a new car in 2008. So it does follow Fantasy Zone 2, but a bit loosely. It has enemies, music locations, and gameplay elements from the Master System games. But it sets up new content and elements of the original Fantasy Zone. So instead of having the distinct zones in each stage, you have two parallel dimensions, the bright side and dark side. And they are comparable to the levels in the original Fantasy Zone. You destroy the bases in one dimension, they destroy in the other. The dark side is more difficult, but you get more rewards. But the bosses are same on either side, although they are more difficult to fight on the dark side. So the game has three endings, which depend on whether dark side levels were cleared and whether some specific items were bought. Getting the bad ending gives you a game over. The music was arranged by Namiki Manabu, and it has many of the songs from the Fantasy Zone 2 soundtrack, but rearranged to be more stylistically to how the Fantasy Zone's original composer, Kawaguchi Hiroshi, would have arranged them. Stages and enemies are based, you know, off the themes from the original. Some are a little bit different. And only half the game's bosses correspond to those who are in the original. So it's a very loose interpretation. M2 did a free demo of their version of Fantasy Zone 2 on their website so that users could download and play the first and second levels on a Windows computer. So, of course, it had been bootlegged and released in arcades as FZ2006-2 by a Taiwanese manufacturer called ISG. It has a 2006 copyright date, but apparently it's based off of the 2008 PlayStation 2 release because of a string recognized from the ROM data. Sega did a limited number of arcade units that ran this on System 16 hardware instead of the emulated System 16 hardware from other releases. But yeah, this particular version also was ported to the Nintendo 3DS version of Fantasy Zone 2, and it was called 3D Fantasy Zone 2W with new features and content. And you could also do an endless survival mode with Oopa Oopa, who is Oppa Oppa's brother. So it's kind of like that. This was, and this to me is like my favorite version of Fantasy Zone 2, but it's like they took Fantasy Zone 2 for the Master System, did an arcade version, did a remake of the arcade version, and then ported that back to console. But
interesting.
There you go. Yeah, so that is Fantasy Zone 2, Oppa Oppa no Namida.
Now, did you get a chance to play this in arcades?
Oh, heck yeah. They had one at California Extreme a couple years ago, and I think I spent a lot of time on this game. And it's funny, as much as I love Fantasy Zone, I'm not really good when it comes to the bosses. Like, I make stupid mistakes. That's my problem, because I'm too busy just getting into the vibe of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had this, and it was a real one, on a candy cab at California Extreme a couple years ago, and I keep hoping that they bring it back.
Oh, I need to fucking get to California Extreme this year. There's always something going on the same weekend, though, but maybe this year.
Dan and I are going.
What do you know what weekend it is yet?
We got a hotel room last time. Maybe we'll do it again.
Do we know what weekend it is yet? I need to block off that weekend. But who knows? All right, we'll see. I like Orange Rye. Orange Rye in chat says, Fantasy Zone. Ooh, I don't know why. I'm sorry. I don't know why the follow noises for my personal stream come over here. I still have not figured that out. So sorry you get the random windows.
July 19th through 20th.
I'll have to check my calendar for that weekend. Orange Rite says Fantasy Zone 2DX, huh? I like that little pun. That's cute.
Well, Fantasy it Zone does predate 2DX. 2DX, but yeah. I know, does it? It's kind of contemporary, actually, I guess.
You said 19th and 20th?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm currently available that weekend. It's the next weekend I'm hosting a show. I think that's what happened to me last year. I was hosting a show that weekend.
I have to double check when my ballet recital is because it's in July.
Ooh. All right. Wonderful.
But
we'll
talk.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to go. Okay. Let's move on to another story. Actually, a series of stories. Let's do some rapid fire news and talk about a few headlines that all that Nintendo Switch news, Switch 2 news at the beginning. You know, we have to run through a few other headlines pretty quickly. Because again, if you're just joining us, we talked a lot about the Switch 2 in the opening hour of the show tonight, so we're trying to cover some of the other headlines at this point. Do remember, you can always download this show as a podcast where all of your favorite podcasts are served, whether that is Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube has podcasting built in as well. So, all right, let's get into some rapid fire news. Loki.
Pokemon Go Fest 2025 has been announced, and we have the dates now for those. It's going to be in Japan, Osaka, Japan, May 29th through June 1st, Jersey City from June 6th to the 8th, and Paris, France, June 13th through the 15th. You can get your tickets now, or you can participate globally on June 28th and 29th. They're going to have Shiny Carbink and Shiny Frigibax are making their debut. And Frigibax is going to be locked into raids. So neat.
I'm enjoying a Pokemon Go renaissance right now, so it sounds kind of exciting. Although we still have to feel out how is the Scopely sale going to change things. But again, I'm not going to react to predictions. I'm going to react to what they announce, the changes they're going to make. You know, when they decide to make them. Although I will say on that same front, I don't know if you heard about this. They did announce this week that because Niantic Wayfarer was sold to Scopely as well, they're going to be splitting the database of points of interest. So at an undisclosed date in the future, probably when this whole deal closes, the network that powers Ingress portals will now be separate from the network that powers Pokemon Hooray. Go, Pokestops, Pikmin Mushrooms, and whatever it was called in Monster Hunter now, the zones or whatever they are in those. Yeah, which is the way it should have been from the very beginning. PvP and PvE should have never been mixed, but I understand that was not Niantic's goal in this whole thing. But that's going to be very interesting with this split. So I was playing Ingress the other day, and I was in a neighborhood, and there was something called a geo marker that somebody had submitted and got added. And you could tell this was a big Pokemon Go neighborhood where they submitted every little fucking thing as Pokemon Go. Do you know what this thing was that they got in Pokemon Go? It was one of those little tiny ass fucking quarter sized markers that they put at the boundary of a house to denote where one property stops and the other one begins. And that was a Pokestop. And I'm like, I cannot wait for this bullshit to no longer be in Ingress. Because again, I don't care about Pokestops. Pokestops in front of people's houses, I don't give a shit about. But it's when people in that game unfortunately get very selfish. I've literally heard Pokemon Go players say, who cares about Ingress? Who cares about the other games? Who cares? That's their problem. To which I say, and for those on the podcast feed, I'm raising my middle finger. All right. let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So, Squinix has launched a website for Final Fantasy IX 25th anniversary. It has a mention of a picture book, the Final Fantasy IX picture book, VV Grandpa and the Day of Departure. And there's a lottery with details to be announced. Zoff versus Final Fantasy IX collaboration glasses due out in July. Final Fantasy IX 25th anniversary official goods. They just have various. And then a vinyl called the Anniversary Vinyl Timeless Tale due on July 9th for 4,950 yen. So, yay.
Yay. I have a story that is a yay for game preservation, actually. Rockman Cosmo on social media has discussed a 23 title game preservation effort for Konami mobile games. These were originally developed for iMode compatible Japanese phones. These games have now been dumped and preserved online. These were previously considered lost media because Konami NetDX was pulled offline in 2016. And of course, iMode compatible phones aren't exactly in vogue anymore. So an anonymous user is actually the one that did the dumping here. In the report on social media from Rockman Cosmo, talked about Gradius Neo, Gradius Neo Imperial, because these were exclusive to this platform, as well as Castlevania, Twinbee, Parodius. Pretty cool. These were originally launched around 2004 for iMode and Yahoo Keitai compatible phones, eventually making their way to Easy Web phones as well.
Keitai means cell phone.
Oh, Keitai cell phone. Cool. Anyway, there's a big old list of the games that have been preserved, and there is actually a Discord from the Keitai Wiki. I didn't even know that was a thing until now, but keitaiwiki.com, where you can get those games and the efforts to save them and preserve them. That's pretty cool. Even if, like, I'm pretty sure we had very similar versions of these games on, like, remember I used to have this Sprint flip phone that played these color games, and like there were some, I had like a Castlevania game on it. It ran like shit. It ran like shit, but it kind of looked like Castlevania. So it's neat. You know what? It's a part of gaming's history. Even the not so pretty stuff deserves to be preserved so that we can learn never to do it again. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, some games that are coming out very soon. Loki.
All right, so this week we've got, let's see, Battlefield Waltz on Nintendo Switch, Ixion on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series, South of Midnight on PC and Xbox Series.
Oh, a lot of people talking about that one. I want to see that one.
Yeah, that one looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Commandos Origins on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Descenders Next. That's on PC, PlayStation, or Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And let's see. Oh, one more day here. All in Abyss, Judge the Fake on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 5. Blueprints on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Crashlands 2 on PC, iOS, and Android. Let's see. Monaco 2 on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Ninja Hayate HD Remaster and Time Gal HD Remaster on PC. Pocket Bravery on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. We've got Promise Mascot Agency on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Snow Brothers 2 Special on PC and Nintendo Switch. Star Overdrive on Nintendo Switch. Steel Seed on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. And last but not least, the Talos Principle Reawakened PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series.
Forgot that was coming. Cool. All right, let's go to Japan. On the Nintendo Switch in Japan, Star Overdrive, which Loki mentioned, that's a worldwide release. So Star Overdrive is also out in Japan on April 10th on the Nintendo Switch. And then we also have a game called Progress Orders. Memories Off Susu, Not Always True, is also out in a regular and limited edition. And then we have the Akka Neo Geo Selection Volume 3 and 4. That would be ACA Arcade Archives. So in the Arcade Archives Neo Geo Volume 3, you get 3 Count Bout, Baseball Stars 2, Blazing Star, Fatal Fury, King of Fighters, King of Fighters 96,
Star.
Last Resort, Ninja Combat, Samurai Showdown 3, Blades of Blood, Sengoku, and World Heroes Perfect. And in the Arcade Archives, these are all things that you could download piecemeal if you want, but these cartridge collections make a real great kind of catch-up mechanism for those of you that maybe haven't done that. So Arcade Archives 4 Neo Geo is Art of Fighting 3, King of Fighters 2000, The Last Blade, Metal Slug, Neo Geo Cup 98, The Road to the Victory, Ninja Commando, Polestar, Puzzled, Ragnagard, and The Super Spy. To all this talk about Arcade Archives,
they put Blazing Star and Polestar on two different discs or two different cartridges.
All this talk about Arcade Archives makes me realize, though, the game I meant to pick up this week was Tetris the Grandmaster Volume 4, because a lot of you in chat have been losing your minds over it. And I've also actually, I played both Tetris Connected and some other Tetris game that played out on PlayStation 5 this week, because those are fun multiplayer games. I'm not good at fighting games multiplayer, but I will play some Tetris multiplayer. So I'm going to get Grandmaster, because I literally have never really gotten into a Grandmaster game. I've watched it during, like, you know, Games Done Quick and other stuff, but I've never really gotten into it. And I think I want to try it. So I'm going to try I want to get the Grandmaster 4, because it seems like y'all are digging it. Okay, sorry, that was a little bit of an aside. So those are the Switch releases in Japan. For the PlayStation 5 releases, you have that Memories Off Susu, Not Always True, is also out on the PlayStation 5. And you have a brand new DualSense controller that is branded from The Last of Us is also out this week in Japan from the hardware side. All right. Dr. C in chat says, I've been playing a good amount of the Grandmaster 4. I think 4 has some tutorial type stuff. Well, that's good, especially if Steam is kind of a new platform for that whole thing. So I think that's a good thing. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
On the 7th, we have Fortune Avenue and Cursed Dawn, both on PC. Also, Inspector Schmidt the Ebbing for PC and Mac, Kitchen Sink Aloha. Also, we have Layla and Laika. And also then for PC is Fortune Avenue. On the 8th, we have Locomoto. We have Peppered, an existential platformer. That just sounds fun by the name alone. For Xbox and PC, we have South of Midnight, Battlefield Waltz for Switch, Tiny Garden for PC, Throne of Bone for PC. On the 9th, we have Commandos Origins, PS5, Xbox, PC, Drive Loop Survivors for PC, Asgard's Fall, Viking Survivors for PC, Gedonia 2. Also on the 9th, Descenders Next for Xboxes and PC, All in Abyss, Judge the Fake for PC, Switch, Xbox. On the 10th, we have Blueprints for PS5, PC, Crashlands 2, PC, iOS, The Talos Principle Reawakened for PC, PS5, Xboxes, Star Overdrive for Switch, Promise Mascot Agency, PS5, PS4, Xboxes, Switch, and PC, Monster Energy Supercross 25 for PS5, Xboxes, PC, Star Overdrive is on there twice. Okay, anyway. Monaco 2 for PC, PS5, Xbox Series X's, on the 10th. Jumping Jazz Cats, that also sounds like a fun name, on PC. Willow Guard on PC. On the 11th, Game Over, a musical RPG, with question marks, for PC. Ninja Ming for PC. Traveler's Refrain for PC, Big Buck Hunter Ultimate Trophy, PS5, Xbox, Switch, PC, and on the 12th, Fubuki Zero In on Hollow Earth for PC.
All right, busy week. All right. Yes. Well, we have one more story for you tonight. Unfortunately, not a good one, but an important one to talk about, Loki.
Yeah. So we have word that Bill Petras, who was a veteran Blizzard Entertainment employee, has passed away. He's spent 30 years in the gaming industry, starting off, of course, he was, in the gaming industry in the 90s, worked on games like Ripper, Star Crusade, and Bloodnet, joined Blizzard Entertainment to work on art with storyboard 3D and cinematic art for StarCraft, as well as the art director for World of Warcraft. Later left and then came back to work on, of course, Overwatch as well. So that is unfortunate. I don't know what he passed away from, but I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, sometimes they keep that secret to the family, and that's none of our business. So, but very sad, tragic loss there for a lot of big games. So unfortunate. Well, we'll try to move from that over to the listener roundtable. I want to invite your comments and things. We also welcome your Blue Sky posts every week at our Blue Sky over at orangelaunchradio.com. And we welcome your emails, participate@orangelaunchradio.com. We would love to get some emails that weren't spam once in a while. I don't believe we have any tonight unless it changed in the last 6 hours.
Shit.
Yeah. So say I've actually, you would be so proud of me, Dark Sakura. When I go to do the show role and do all that, I've now been logging into the email because I'm like, oh, there's probably 10 spam messages in there for grow your YouTube. Aren't you sad that nobody
fucking... I am so proud of you.
Aren't you sad that nobody fucking watches you on YouTube? Blah, blah, blah. But yeah. Well, you know, you could do it. All right. Anyway.
I was doing it.
All right, let's get to
Rob.
What?
Rob!
Coffee.
I did the thing.
Yeah. We have a comment from, I'm going to horribly mispronounce this name, but it's Mate Rixy? Mate Rixy? I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm Matrix. Maybe Matrix? Matrix Z, I bet, is asking, wait, this is on YouTube as well? So this doesn't stream live to YouTube, but it will, our podcast is, so we used to be on a thing called Google Podcasts, and they actually sunset that, and they just said, YouTube supports podcasting now, so you can upload your podcast to YouTube. And so that's what we do. We upload our podcast to YouTube. So it isn't live on YouTube, but you can get the audio podcast there. At this time, we do not have a video podcast archive there. I'm not going to say that's forever going to be the case. But for now, it's just the audio, same as you would get on Spotify, same as you would get on Apple Podcasts. And, you know, we're Orange Lounge Radio, not Orange Lounge Video. So we focus on, you know, our discussions and audio first. So that's usually why the video is just a little bonus for those of you that take the extra step to join us live on Sunday night. Honestly, work, love that, baby steps. Well, when it comes to YouTube, yes. Actually... I remember, now that you bring it up and we have a little bit more of an open segment, I remember years ago, Jason, our voiceover guy who works very hard behind the scenes with our show, would take these episodes and he would actually zhuzh them up a little bit for YouTube. When we used to do segments like Listless and a lot of the games, we haven't done in a while. Oh, yeah. We really need to do one of those games. It's been a while. Or like video game match game and some things we haven't done in a while. Which now, if we would have to call that video game snatch game for more people to understand what it's a parody of. But we used to do video game match game. And
I miss doing that, Rob.
We should schedule one in the coming weeks. So Jason would actually like have visuals up on screen that went with it and all that stuff. And he worked very hard, but unfortunately it didn't get a lot of viewers on YouTube. And so it was kind of one of those, is the juice worth the squeeze? Maybe not. I don't know. So anyway. But we always appreciate Jason's efforts of trying new things in that department and others. But now now that Google has the whole like automatic import, I don't have to do anything to put this podcast on YouTube. It automatically scrapes the feed and imports it and does all that stuff, which is great. I love it.
And nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Exactly. So I don't.
It could happen. Yeah. I mean, honestly, we should probably have more TikToks up.
We should, but TikTok again, I can't take on any more production elements. So that's yeah.
I it's easy. I could do it.
Great. I would love that. I would honestly love that because TikTok is, it's like, I've had things to get hit by. I just posted a bullshit TikTok yesterday about Tron Ares. Oh, we can talk about that too. Cause we were talking about that before. Tron Ares, that trailer came out for that movie. Right. And there's a lot of things I really like about this. And I'm going to copy some of what I said in the TikTok. Nine Inch Nails doing the soundtrack. Look, you're never going to be Daft Punk. You're never going to be Wendy Carlos. But Nine Inch Nails is doing their own thing with it. And I'm like, okay, like I accept this. This sounds like it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be a banger. Gillian Anderson being in the movie. I look at her and I go, maybe I'm bisexual. But she's a wonderful actress. I'm really excited that she's in it. And there's a lot of things to get excited about. But then... Jared Leto's involved.
I'm not even mad about him. I'm not mad about him.
I mean, he's not going to always be in bad movies, right?
I just don't like him. But my understanding, everybody's commenting on my TikTok going, you know, they wouldn't have made the movie if it wasn't for him because he's an executive producer. Beep, 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 beep. That's my opinion. I don't like him.
I don't know, though. Was it just me, or I just had like this mental traumatic backlash to seeing a giant pixel Pac-Man going across the screen when I was seeing light cycles and recognizers in the real world?
I'm having to do this in chat right now because one of the first things that Bobby said isn't Jared Leto the only reason the movie is even happening? So I had to do a slap with a large trout to throw back to the MIRC days.
Oh my God.
Hello to Jay Helinski in chat who says his music is okay, but I can't stand anything he does otherwise. I mean,
yeah.
I associate his music with like a certain type of 2004 era emo that I can't say I've heard his music in many, many, many years.
Further down the spiral is the album that got me through college the first time.
No, I'm not talking about, I believe the comments about Jared Leto, not Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was the singer of 30 Seconds to Mars, right? Am I mixing him up with somebody else?
I don't care about.
No, you're not.
Okay. No, Nine Inch Nails is. Oh God, Nine Inch Nails has always been fucking fantastic, and yeah.
I was like, why are you saying things about Nine Inch Nails?
No, oh my God, same girl. Like the Downward Spiral was my goth album. Loved it.
I never listened to 30 Seconds to Mars like ever.
I like the premise of the movie. I'm just worried. I'll still go see it. I mean, yeah, whatever.
Let's not kid ourselves. Look, there's a fucking machine right there in my background. For those watching live on Twitch, for those on the podcast feed, I'm sure you've seen a picture at some point. I, as a Tron fan, as someone who wants this franchise to succeed, I'm gonna fucking see it. But I'm also gonna voice my concerns.
I have the LaserDisc box set.
Yeah. I love Legacy.
That still is perfectly functional.
Somebody in the fucking TikTok comments dared to call Tron Legacy a mid-movie. And I was like, you people say anything on the internet and not get punished for it. You really will.
To the original Tron.
Sue that person for defamation.
Compared to the original Tron.
They're different.
Tron is my favorite Disney movie.
No, I get it. I'm a little concerned. I will say now that the comment that made me chuckle was with all the Tron stuff in the real world. Somebody had commented, isn't this just the plot of the movie Pixels? And that made me laugh.
You not hear me say the comment about the giant Pac-Man?
Yeah, you're right. But I am a little concerned about that. But we'll see how it turns out. We'll see. Anyway. That's true. S200 Matt says we'll go to Disney to buy the Aries merch. I still need to go on that ride in Orlando. They don't have it in Anaheim, which is where I've been more often. I know. Well,
we need a petition.
Where are they going to put it?
Everyone go to change.org. change.org doesn't actually get anything done.
Where are they going to build it? I guess there's the rumors that they're going to tear down the thing next, or they're going to turn the Toy Story parking lot and where the PF Chang's is, that whole little block that Disney actually owns, that is going to become like a third property, but that's not going to happen for like 10 fucking years. So
build up.
But I want to go to Orlando.
Go from the people mover and go up.
I will say my Star Trek cruise next year goes out of Orlando, and I am absolutely considering either padding that time before or after with theme park time. Because not only do I want to do Disney, do you know what else I want to do? Epic Universe. Although I'm concerned, because I guess a big chunk of Epic Universe is Harry Potter, which in the year 2025, can you imagine? But the Nintendo Land there is apparently twice as big as the one in LA and has the Donkey Kong ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Bobby says, so only do a half day at Epic Universe. Or as I understand, 3/4 of a day. Because it's the Harry Potter stuff is a quarter of the park. So we'll see. Let's see. Jay Helinski in chat says, I'm looking forward to what ends up happening with Ingress after this divorce at Niantic. Me too. As somebody who sunk a lot of hours into that game, I am very curious. I'm curious if they do a new client at some point. And I'm very curious to see how they continue to integrate that with Scaniverse and their real point about trying to get people to scan areas of interest. Because you know, overclocking portals, which is like using their portal scan technology, is a thing in Ingress. I think barely any players are doing it. Barely anybody's actually doing it. So I'm not sure if they're going to find ways to make the AR gaming more compelling, because I feel like that's where Niantic eventually wants to be, is trying to make more of that like world around you AR gaming more compelling. But we'll see. We have a call on our Discord channel, and I want to get to that before we wrap up tonight, over at vognetwork.com/discord. You can join the green room and you can give us a call, just like this caller is right now. Hello, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, everybody. It's the one and only Ronma.
Were you just here last week? Were you just here last week? Sir, you have used your once a month ticket. No, I'm kidding. It's always a delight to hear from you. How are you doing, Ronma?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just came back from Baltimore. I just had a grand old time. So
in Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
What's in Baltimore other than history?
Two questions. What were you doing in Baltimore? And did you sing the song Good Morning Baltimore from the musical Hairspray?
One, I went in to visit friends. Two, I did not, because I do not remember the words.
Oh, you only need the chorus. Good morning, Baltimore. That's all you need.
Rob, I just want you to know, the last time I saw Hairspray, Ricky Lake was in it, and I think I was like...
That's the only one that exists. We do not talk about John Travolta. We don't.
Just making sure.
Okay. Although the Ricky Lake version didn't have the songs, so I get it. Anyway, what do you want to call in about tonight?
I just want to jump in on this whole switch to brouhaha, okay?
Brouhaha is a good word for it.
Because I def can verify this. When they announced all the games and they announced the price, I said, this is such bull. There's no way that console is worth that price. And my reasoning is, I'm a tech person. I got to see if the tech is worth the purchase. I said for years, the Switch is not worth the price mark because the hardware that's underneath it. But I also said, when I do buy the Switch, I'm walking out of the store with five games. I walked out with six that day on Black Friday.
Here's something else people often forget about Nintendo. DJ Romez, Nintendo will not sell their consoles at a loss. Other gaming companies will do it. Sony has sold at a loss. Microsoft's done it. Nintendo has never sold at a loss until the 3DS backed them into a corner and they had to, because the 3DS was going to tank otherwise. So, but that is, yeah. So them overcharging versus what the hardware really is not a complete surprise. I mean, I understand why it frustrates people, but it's not, I mean, to me, the more glaring issue is the $350-ish Japanese only one.
I'm going to get to that.
All right. I'll shut my mouth.
It's all good, fam. Now, I read an NVIDIA blog post about the Switch 2. About the hardware that's underneath. I cross-referenced what I read on a Wikipedia entry about the different Tegra processors, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know what? I can see why they're asking that much. The hardware underneath in the console, I say, is well worth it. And that's why I said, that night, I'm going to put the pre-order down. I see that it was worth it. It was worth it. Mm. Then we hear about the tariffs. And again, you've probably have seen this. The sheer number of people that are saying, oh, Nintendo is putting it out at this price to cover their arses. No, you ignorant. Nintendo made the announcement that day. They didn't realize what was going on. It was a pure coincidence. That's all it was. I'm trying to explain this to people. And then here we come talking about the price of the video games. And people are talking about, oh, how Donkey Kong Country 2 was $89.99 in the U.S. No, it was not. It was $59.99 U.S. How do I know this? I was there. Don't speak the legend to me when I was there when it was written. And the thing is, almost every site is talking about the price comparison of the Super NES games and the Switch 2 games are Canadian prices.
I was just about to say, you got to use your critical thinking, because sometimes when people post those stuff, it's showing what the Canadian flyers were in the day,
right?
Back in that day, you know, I know it's gone back and forth and all that, you know, the dollars are volatile, but in that day, you would generally expect to see $10 to $20 higher in Canada because of what the conversion was at that time.
Yes. And what people don't understand is the reason why games went so cheap, because CD and DVD format, you could buy spindles of blank media and put stuff on it. It was all over. That helped bring down the price of the games. And that was great. That was a golden age, because almost everybody could afford to buy video games. And then the prices started to come up again, which I understand. Got to pay for the servers. You got to pay for the tech. Oh, and I get that. I understand that. Nintendo's just asking a little bit too much money out of my pocket right now. That's the way I look. I think they have crossed the line on the pricing. And as again, as Mike has said in the chat, which is something I had said somewhere else on a Facebook group, when someone's talking about inflation, you can't compare inflation when people's salaries have not gone up. 20 years ago, when the N64 came out, I didn't pay $199. I paid $249 because I went to a local mom and pop store that I have been loyal to for years. And I worked my arse off and paid that off. And that's what I did. Nowadays, it's like, oh, Lord, look at the price. I will say this right now. I don't care. I make about $80,000 in New York City. Do you know how long it took me to pay bills and to save up just to get a PlayStation 5?
Yeah, and some people are going to say, "Wow, that's a lot of money." But for New York City, you're going to be on budget with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said, and I'll say this right now, the Switch at that price, I can do it. After tariffs, I can wait. I will pay off the rest of my bills first. And then when the time comes, I will make that purchase. But again, you can't see it. But behind me on the right is a shelf full of PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series games I have yet to play because I caught them on sale. I'm like, if I don't buy it now, I'm probably not going to get my hands on it. Because believe you me, that Cyberpunk 2077 fire sale for $10? Yeah, I was in on that shit.
I feel the dam that's going to burst is that Nintendo is going to have to reapproach their concept of never putting games on sale. I do think there's going to be a lot of gamers that respond similarly to what Loki and I are saying, that like, we're not going to risk $80 on a game we don't know enough about to buy that on day one.
To be fair, Nintendo has put games on sale.
Rarely. It's never the ones you want.
Kinda. Remember Player's Choice or Greatest Hits? It was the same game with a fancy new banner around the old cover art, and it was $39.99.
Sure, and Sony did the same thing for Greatest Hits and da da da. Yeah, I gotcha.
Kind of noticed since PlayStation 4, nobody's done that.
You know what's interesting? You know what else is interesting? Well, there's it's all the digital fire sales now. Like, so it's. Mm-hmm. You check out Sony's digital store any day of the week and you can find some relatively recent games for $20, but it's all the stuff that flopped at 70. Orange Right in chat says, I'm definitely not planning on canceling my Gamefly anytime soon. You know, I'm almost positive I saw Bobby say a similar thing. I wonder how that's going to I wonder if suddenly Gamefly is really popular again. Or similar services.
Again, this goes back to what I talked about last week about renting those games at the local video store, because I couldn't afford them, but I did have that chance to play the game for three days and two nights and take it back to how great it was.
Can you imagine the $80 price of games bringing back game rentals in a way we haven't seen in decades? But now that I'm
crazy.
Now that I'm sitting here, I'm like... Mm-hmm. I would rent the Donkey Kong game for like $10 and play it for a little bit and try it out.
But they'll fight against it. If rentals come, let's just say that somehow rentals come back in the next 2 years and we have Blockbuster Videos or whatever the equivalent would be now with that, where they're renting video games, publishers would just be like, hey, consumers. And yeah, we're going to like put some stupid like a code or something like that, because I mean, remember they were combating like used game sales at one time. They were combating rentals. You literally cannot trust this game industry for anything. Ooh. Like it's just
Bobby with an excellent reminder. You know, libraries also lend games. That's a damn good point. I always forget.
Well,
that.
yeah. right now while they have the budget.
I mean, I will give you an example. When I bought my PlayStation 4, I bought the Spider-Man 2 edition one, and I sold the Spider-Man game because it's not my cup of tea. Some of my friends thought I was crazy, but I'm like, I have a very eclectic taste in video games. If you saw my collection, you'd understand it. So I go to GameStop, and I trade it in for another game that they have brand new. And the guy, I'm like, it's not my cup of tea. He's like, what you should do is go ahead, play through the game, return, sell it back, pick up another game, and go back and forth. I do this all the time. Okay, as much as I like to cheat the system, even I have my moral standards.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are starting to run long for the show, so I do want to get any last thoughts for you, and then we're going to wrap up tonight. So, Rama, anything else you want to get out before we get out?
For you, Rob. Next time when you do war release dates and stuff, if the title kind of sounds like this is a fucking anime, 99% of the time,
it
generally is.
It is.
And I will probably be like, oh, I've heard of this one. Oh, I haven't played it yet, and so forth.
And I would know more animes if I listened every week to Anime Jam Session, although I do try to make it a point to tune in, but sometimes the talk's a little over my head.
Starting an anime. I'm going to watch Tokyo Ghoul since we got the character in Dead by Daylight.
There you go. There you go.
And for you, Rob, I recommend watching Cowboy Bebop. You'd love it.
Nah. Watch Sakamoto Days.
Yes. I almost got the cosplay for that. I almost did. I almost pulled the trigger on it.
My husband would prefer I watch Sailor Moon, but okay.
I mean,
Rob, if you still have a functional DVD player, I have an entire box set of Cowboy Bebop.
I have a Wii. They play DVDs. All right. Rama, my friend, I'm going to let you go, but have fun on Anime Jam Session. We will talk to you very soon.
You got it. Take care, y'all.
All right, bye. All right. Well, with that, quickly, Loki, do we have any last minute stories tonight?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we do. We've got word that poor Bellatro, they can't get a break. So remember they were getting age restricted on some of the storefronts because of gambling concerns or whatever. And then that kind of got ironed out. Well, now, good old YouTube and their changing of their terms of service are now cracking down on depictions or promotions of online casino sites or apps. It will cause your stuff to be age-restricted. And unfortunately, they're false flagging the Bellatro content because it has poker mechanics,
and
but
I
it's
will
not necessarily
fucking
gambling.
Bet dime to dollar it's a fucking AI thing that's false flagging it.
Of course. So, unfortunately, it's an issue right now. You know, Local Thunk, the creator of the game, said on social media, good thing we're protecting children from knowing what a four of a kind is and letting them watch CSGO case opening videos instead. I mean, because that's not being struck down by this thing. So,
yeah,
it's frustrating.
To say the least. All right. Anything else?
Just to mention, I think we talked about it before. Minecraft movie, $157 million in the box office, opening record breaking, beating out Mario Brothers.
Congratulations! So. All right, we're gonna get a final thoughts real quick. Thank you, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. We appreciate those of you that take the time out to listen to the show, whether you're listening live, you're listening on the podcast feed. Thank you so much. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out on air. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you found this show, goes an awful long way, and thank you very much.
Take a breath, Rob.
I can't. I'm trying to get it done.
You're speeding.
You know me. And if it's not Micro Machines, it's not the real thing. Dark Soccer.
Rob Machida.
Are you going to stream tonight?
Yeah, I won't have a lot of time for it, but I'll do some killer matches tonight. Just get a little bit in. So yeah, I'll do it. Okay. I'm kind of already logged in.
Final thoughts for our listeners.
My final thought is no one will replace the pig in my heart.
All right. Have a good stream. We'll see you in a minute.
See ya.
Loki, that takes us to you. Your final thought tonight.
Final thought is work tomorrow. God, I don't want to hear the news this week. It's only going to get worse.
I know, but the more the news is bad, the more angry people will get, because it's what I said earlier in the show. People aren't going to get upset until it affects them personally, and a whole lot of people are about to be affected personally. So we'll just keep an eye on how all that is going. All those checks and balances that refuse to check and balance, they're going to be left with little choice pretty soon. So that's just I'm lying to myself and telling myself that, but let me have this little bit of hopium or else I have nothing left. All right. My final thought tonight is I'm so sorry I did not get a plug sooner in the show. Maybe somebody could do me a favor and drop a link in chat. But I want to give a shout out to my pals over at the show Video Game Realness, which stars four wonderful guys out of Canada that do this show, including a buddy and a longtime supporter of this show, Delvin, who has been on the show at some point. I know he was here in person like years ago before the pandemic. Check out the show. They're on YouTube now. So they're actually doing like a YouTube show, and they just came back with their Switch 2 reaction show. So check that out. And my understanding is they may not be the only ones staging a comeback. So it's like 2014 in the podcastiverse right now, and it feels great. So check out my pals over there, won't you? That's it. That's going to do it for me. Have a wonderful night, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days, and who knows what's going to get fucked by then. So let's stay.
The possibilities are endless.
Stay positive. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.